Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast.
Saying right now, it's all gibberish. Welcome in the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, heading your way on 1600 AM, taking you in to this three-day Memorial Day weekend. 106.3, 107.5 FM, the South and North Gyms, respectively, and online at kgymradio.com as well. We've got a great show for you today. David Eichholt is going to be along with us from 24/7 Sports, covers the Iowa Hawkeyes, and is in Omaha, Nebraska, where Iowa is now hanging by a thread, playing for its tournament life. It's mixed metaphors here right out of the gate. The Hawkeyes losing, and losing in spectacular fashion to Nebraska earlier today in a game that was supposed to be played last night, instead moved to today due to the weather. Jack Dom, the Mount Mercy baseball coach, will be with us for his weekly segment, touching all the bases inside the 5 o'clock hour. And we'll get you ready for the Blues and the Bruins. Stanley Cup Game 1 is going to be Monday night. Sean Leahy of NBC Sports will be with us tonight in the third and final hour. Lots more to get to on the program today. Your texts and phone calls welcome on the Hertin & Stocker Jewelers text line, 319-366-1600. Again, 366-1600 if you want to reach out to us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, or pick up the phone and give us a call. We have not one, but two $30 gift cards to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. We're going to hook you up with those today. One of them right here in the 4 o'clock hour. So don't go anywhere. LaCantina319.com is the website to go check out before you head out. They handle catering, so you've got a graduation party coming up, maybe a big party this summer. They can handle everything for you. Three locations, one in Marion, two here in Cedar Rapids. And again, the first of two $30 gift cards to La Cantina on the way for you here inside the first hour. Happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
I am sorry that I was not here yesterday. My son was under the weather, and I had to deal with that all day yesterday, which is never fun, as most parents No, and hoping now that he is over the hump. He's been at home with Grandma and Grandpa today, and it's a miracle that my parents still speak to me after having them take care of my son as often as they do, but he's a handful. As I found out momentarily a couple hours ago, I went home to check on him, and he was supposed to be napping, and needless to say, he wasn't taking his nap, and he got a stern talking to. There was not a ton to get to yesterday.
No, there wasn't.
I have this knack, and I know Alex and Kyle hate me for it, but I have this knack for having things come up and having to call out on work on days where there's not much going on. And then I come back, and you got Iowa baseball going on, you got the email. I'm just calling it the email.
That is, what a fantastic piece of literature that email was.
This is, and I checked.
I hope this lives in Hawkeye lore for generations to come, parents to tell their children about the day that they saw this email.
I got to be honest with you. This is what occurred last night. We're talking about the email that ultimately led to Gary Dolphin's second suspension as the voice of the Hawkeyes and put his play-by-play career in Iowa City in peril. This is the insensitive remarks made about Bruno Fernando of the Maryland Terrapins. The email finally was released by the University of Iowa through a Freedom of Information Act request from multiple media outlets, and this is how my mind operated last night as I came across it on my Twitter timeline. I think Scott Dochterman of The Athletic is the first person who tweeted it that I saw, and the very first thing, and I'm a miserable human being for doing this, but my first thought was check the timestamp. Check the timestamp and make sure that it didn't come out between 4 and 7. Because if it came out between 4 and 7 yesterday, these guys would have handled it yesterday. I think it was 7:02. And I,
right when we get off,
you would
have
thought,
the air.
You would have thought I was raising the Stanley Cup. I almost ran around the living room. My wife and son had no idea what to think. They saw me react. I was like, here we go. This has been a miraculous May. It's May 24th, and I feel as if Iowa basketball has carried us through the month of May, and I had...
It's the gift that just keeps on giving.
It's actually the Jelly of the Month Club. I had no idea that... And we say this all the time, especially on this show. filling 3 hours a day. I got to be careful here because anytime I reference this, somebody says I'm feeling sorry for myself. I'm not. But 3 hours a day after spring football is over and before football starts back up in the fall is not always the easiest thing to do. And yet here we are, a little manna from heaven. The email to me, and I know there are people out there that are questioning, why is this a thing now? Well, that's how a FOIA request, a Freedom of Information Act request, works. You put in the request, and it's not like Iowa comes to you the next day and says, oh, yeah, here's that email that you want. And I think Mark Morehouse of the Gazette said there were like 125 emails or something like that to Fran McCaffrey. That's really sort of the interesting thing here, is because the email went to Fran McCaffrey's public email, which I didn't even know. I guess every coach has a public email. How much would
for
you like?
For the most part, they do.
How much would you like to sort through? You think Kirk Ferentz in 20 years has ever taken a peek? And I'm sure Rita Foley has had to dive in there to see if there's anything that needs to be seen by him. But you think Kirk's got Outlook set up on his phone? He's, oh, hey, I got mail.
Well, doesn't that sort of raise the question, how did this email come to the forefront? Like, well, how on a public email account of Fran McCaffrey, how did he wade through all the spam that he gets and find this email?
My favorite part about all of this, and I spend far too much time delving into these things in various corners of the internet, but at the same time, it's partly my job to do so, is there are conspiracy theorists out there that have sliced and diced this email in the way that the Zapruder film has been dissected and analyzed over the course of American history. You have people who have pointed out the short length of the email address, which, by the way, was redacted by the University of Iowa, and probably a good thing, because this poor, poor soul, whoever he or she may be, would most likely have been inundated by hate and trolls had the email been released to the public. But you've got conspiracy theorists out there that are saying there's only so many characters that are blocked out, therefore they think Fran McCaffrey may have had this person in his contact list, that this is an inside job. I'm not making any of this up. You can, if you want to go down the rabbit hole with Alice in Wonderland, you can do it. It's all out there on Twitter and message boards and social media. But the email was, can I just call it bizarre?
Yes, that's a perfect word for that email.
Now, here's the deal. And I got a little flack on Twitter last night. And again, this is the way that it always works. I was off yesterday. I had to burn a vacation day, and yet I'm still working because somebody is reaching out to me trying to either poke the bear, no reference to Jamie Pollard intended there. But when this situation all went down, and you remember, this was a huge story in the state of Iowa for like 3 days. There was nothing more important than the status of Gary Dolphin as the voice of the Hawkeyes for a good 48, 60, 72 hours, something like that, where I was told from somebody who would know that the complaint originated with Learfield, which is the broadcast rights partner of the University of Iowa. And now the story has changed like two or three times from various aspects. Then it was, well, the email went to both Iowa and Learfield. If Learfield got an email, it doesn't look like they were blind carbon copied or CC'd on this particular email, but that's another log on the conspiracy theorist fire here, is that if this went to Fran McCaffrey, why did it go any further?
Right.
But again, as others have pointed out, if you got an email like that where you sensed an impropriety, you would kick it up the line of command. We call this the Penn State. That's the defense that everybody used at Penn State. Remember when Jerry Sandusky, and I'm not by any stretch of the imagination comparing these two scenarios, but what I'm getting at is at Penn State, the defense was, I told someone higher than me. Therefore, I did everything that I needed to do. And then it was out of my... Can you imagine how amazingly the world would operate if that's how we handled everything in life? Well, I told someone higher than me. There's a huge mess in the kitchen here at work. Somebody brought a birthday cake in. I believe it's for our coworker Claire from the morning scramble.
It's a unicorn cake.
And we have two people every week. It rotates among the full-time staff here who have to clean up the kitchen after the other animals who work here. And
who are you calling an animal?
Well, it just so happens this is my week. So if somebody who's not...
I'm very concerned about you comparing me to an animal.
Somebody who, it could be a good animal, could be a bear. You're the bear now, Alex.
Okay.
Embrace it. You poked the bear when you first got here. Now you're the bear. It's almost as if somebody would walk by and go, well, it's not my week for cleanup duty. I could clean up that mess or I could just go tell Todd because it's his week. Somebody came and told, hey, the kitchen's a mess. I know it's your week. The kitchen's a mess. Oh, okay. Paper towels right over there. Let's lend a helping hand, a little collectivism here. But no, that's fine. So kicked it higher up, brought it to the attention of somebody else, and then everything spiraled out of control. And well, I've got the email here. And as I said, this is just, it's strange.
Can you read it in like a impersonation voice?
Well, the subject line is Iowa Broadcasting of Games, which almost sounds like a Nigerian prince wrote this email. Like, if this came to me at todd@kgymradio.com, by the way, I also have a public email address. If that came to me, Iowa Broadcasting of Games, like, oh, okay. Uh-huh. You've got me, Francis J. McCaffrey email box.
Good old Francis.
You got me. Wednesday, February 20th, 2019 at 2:15:18 p.m. Shame on me for not double-checking the schedule. I'm assuming that the Maryland game was on February 19th. This is either 1 or 2 days after the Maryland game. Actually, the email says Tuesday night, so I'll trust that that's accurate. I am very concerned that... Okay, the email begins with no greeting, no salutation, no Fran, no Mr. McCaffrey, no... Dearest Iowa basketball coach, nothing.
Beloved.
I am very concerned that Dolph made a very uncomfortable statement immediately after the men's basketball game Tuesday night. He said that the Maryland player reminded him of King Kong by the way he played. I am white, but I think that is totally unacceptable and worthy of firing. New paragraph. Coach Fran, we love watching this team. It reminds me so much of watching Bobby Hansen and Kevin Boyle play together. They never stopped fighting. Best of luck. And then this should be a new paragraph, but I told my husband that Connor should always be in it in games at the end. And then, again, for the conspiracy theorists out there, the email is signed by whoever sent this, and it's perhaps initials, a couple characters long. And you've got people out there.
Just the first name.
You have people out there buzzing about the length of the little black box here on the from and the signing off here. So you have the very top. You've got just get straight to the point. Don't even say, hey, Fran, what's up? Tough loss.
Dear coach.
Dear coach. Comma. Dear Mr. McCaffrey.
Enter.
It's. Yeah, go home tonight. My wife is going to go, what'd you talk about on the show today? And I'm going to say, I parsed an email almost word for word. We did the forensic files on, and yeah, nobody else is doing it. Why not us? The very first paragraph just cuts right to the point. Just goes all King Kong. Dolph should be fired. It's unacceptable and worthy of firing. Second paragraph, love watching this team. Throw in a reference to a team from almost 40 years ago, 35 years ago. And then just on top of things, and I think your son should be playing at the end of games.
This is just a classic. And see, does now, this not leave just that window of for conspiracy theories just wide open, though?
Oh, absolutely. And I fully endorse people taking the conspiracy theory angle here and running with it. Because
I have no problem with it.
Exactly. This, on its surface, is just a dumb email. But how dumb the email is makes it, to me, all that more interesting. The Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line is having a... I don't think the text line is subject to Freedom of Information Act requests. I don't... Were this a university show or something? I think maybe you could reach out and get all of the correspondence. But luckily for you, you are cloaked in anonymity, and unless you choose to share your name with us on the text line, 366-1600.
Isn't it weird, though, that you mentioned that there's no intro to it? There's no Coach Fran, except for in the second paragraph. Then there's the Coach Fran, comma. There's no lead until the second pair. Oh, God, this is a jumbled mess. And the first thing that I thought, that looks like a fake email. And I'm not saying that it is, but it just reads like a ridiculous email.
Mike from Marengo says, sketchy. Very
sketchy. It is very sketchy.
I think we need an investigation. I think we need to keep all of the Iowa media members on the case here. And it's... Again, May 24th, this went down in February, and because Freedom of Information Acts are... Let me tell you how much public institutions hate the Freedom of Information Act, which is a journalist's lifeblood, because you're in the public, you're supposed to operate in the public eye. You're not supposed to hide things, you're not supposed to keep things from the public, and yet... Places like the University of Iowa love keeping things from the public. So dragging their feet, finally releasing these emails. Again, the story, which everybody thought was put to bed back in February, March. When was the bizarre? Well, the bizarre news conference was after the Ohio State, after Fran got thrown out of the Ohio State. Late February. Everybody thought this was put to bed in late February, and here, like the Walking Dead, comes this email.
This email.
And again, all I was concerned about yesterday was, when did it come out? Did it come out after 7 o'clock? Because if it did, these guys didn't touch it yesterday, and then I get to dive headfirst into what is a very shallow swimming pool, but still water in this nonetheless. I am very concerned that Dolph made a very uncomfortable statement immediately after the men's basketball game Tuesday night. He said that the Maryland player reminded him of King Kong by the way he played. I am white, but I think that is totally unacceptable and worthy of firing. Coach Fran, we love watching this team. This reminds me so much watching Bobby Hanson and Kevin Boyle play together. They never stopped fighting. Best of luck.
And oh, by the way,
I told my husband that Connor should always be in games at the end. Whoever wrote this did not learn about the compliment sandwich. If you're going to criticize somebody, if you're going to... You got to open with, I love watching this team. It reminds me of Bobby Hanson and Kevin Boyle play together. Then you squeeze in the criticism.
He made a very uncomfortable comment.
And then you end with another compliment. It's like, hey, management calls me into the office and says, hey, we've been listening to the show a lot lately. It's sounding good. I know trouble is coming because that's the white bread on top. Or honey wheat, depending on, I don't want to get too specific here because I may offend somebody's preference of bread. It is 2019 after all. So that's the first piece of bread. Hey, we've been listening to the show. Things are sounding good. I know what's coming. You're getting to the processed meat or the cheese or whatever in the middle here where, and we think there are some things that could be worked on. And then at the end, you always tell the employee, but again, things are sounding good. Compliment. Address the issue, and then compliment at the end, the last piece of bread. This email is not formatted properly.
Well, I do like the fact that she had to specify that she was white. That was pretty funny to me. Well, I'm white.
We know it's a white person, and we're assuming that it's female because there's a reference to husband, although, again, it's 2019, and
that's true.
It doesn't necessarily mean that it's a female. However... My favorite reaction to this on Hawkeye Twitter yesterday was the fact that this is a member of the Knitting Brigade. That this email, just given the reference to 40 years ago, watching Bobby Hanson and Kevin Boyle, who, by the way, is an outstanding color commentator with Gary Rima on UNI games, that reference to a team from 40 years ago, that this is perhaps an older member of the fan base, and then people went to, well, they probably yell at people to sit down, they probably sit there and read books, probably sit there and knit. Well, apparently they sit there and listen on the radio and make notes of the fact that anybody out there thinks that this is an inside job is, to me, glorious, because this whole Fran McCaffrey, Gary Dolphin rift that got pulled out into the public eye, and now everybody's an amateur Columbo, and everybody's like, oh, of course we knew about that. Well,
oh yeah, we knew.
Some people knew. It wasn't for public consumption, and then Gary Barta released the statement that said previous tensions or what. Shame on me for forgetting the terminology.
Ongoing tensions.
Ongoing tensions. Again, I got my inner Columbo working here. This is going to go down as one of the most bizarre stories that I ever deal with over the course of my broadcasting career, which, if I'm lucky, in about another month and a half is going to turn a page for yet another year. But still got to get, it's like running a marathon and you get to the 25-mile mark. You still got to go that last mile and 1/10 or 1/12, whatever it is.
So we have
a marathon, 26.1?
It's 26.2, right?
0.2? I don't know. I haven't seen one of those stickers 26. In at least 30 minutes.
Yeah, it's 26.2 because there's apparently a new beer out called 26.2, and it's for marathon runners after they finish their marathon.
Sure. But
Mike from Marengo has a great conspiracy theory.
Dun, dun, dun.
My theory is that it was Kirk Ferentz's neighbors. We all know how much Dolph and Kirk are good friends.
The neighbors, Kirk Ferentz's neighbors. Ferentz has been cleaning up in court. You can't take down the king of Iowa City. Ain't happening. 319-366-1600. Write goofy emails to Gary Barta or Fran McCaffrey, and then we will put in a Freedom of Information request, and then we'll read your goofy emails. This could be fun, could lead to a lot of trouble down the road. But do remember that if you are emailing anybody at the University of Iowa, your words can bubble up publicly through a Freedom of Information Act request.
But your name will be redacted.
I believe it's their choice. They have a choice to redact. They do more often than not, but I think...
So the person who sends the email has the choice?
No, the releasing party, I think,
okay,
can redact emails, names, things like that. You don't normally get that when you... I think it would be fun to know who this person is. But more fun for the internet to try to figure out who it is and ultimately come up with a conspiracy theory that it's an inside job. The email is fake. It's a phony email because the from is too short... You had people parsing how many characters would be in @gmail.com and how much room would be left on the left-hand side of the @ for an address. And it was something like two or three letters or something. Oh, no, it's somebody has to be in his address book. Okay. Doubtful. It's a random email. But this underscores, because we never saw the email at the time. We just had the words of Gary Barta and saying that somebody contacted, again, the original story was that the complaint went to Learfield, and then the story was that the complaint went to both parties, and then it got very muddled after that. But that simple email is what led to the giant forest fire that was Gary Dolphin 2.0. I am very concerned that Dolph made a very uncomfortable statement immediately after the men's basketball game Tuesday night. He said that the Maryland player reminded him of King Kong by the way he played. I am white, but I think that is totally unacceptable and worthy of firing. Those few lines from one person started a massive forest fire. By the way, if you're a big fan, wouldn't you... Did you know Bruno Fernando? Did you know his name? I mean, he's the star player at Maryland, and you're so concerned about it. and you're a big enough fan that you recall watching Bobby Hansen and Kevin Boyle play together. Am I feeding into the conspiracy theory here? God,
yes.
I hope not.
Yes, you are.
I hope not. Also, kudos on misspelling Connor McCaffrey's first name, throwing everybody off the track, C-O-N-N-E-R. It's spelled C-O-N-N-O-R. Somebody, an inside job, would not make that mistake. Or would they? 319-366-1600. Fun with emails.
Let's not make that a segment, please. Let's not make that a segment.
We will not. Alex is going to bust me for getting him a gift card coming up here in the first hour of the program. Love it or leave it. Jack Dom on the way in the 5 o'clock hour. And when we return, Kyle's going to get you a big board update. And David Eicholt of 24/7 will make his first appearance on the program. He's in Omaha covering the Hawkeye baseball team. Back after this.
Just about the time Willa Dickens began as a watchmaker at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, a romantic notion was blooming in 1940s America. The idea that a diamond, like love itself, is precious and lasting. More than ever before, proposals began including twinkling rings and velvet-lined Hertin and Stocker boxes. Decades of engagements and countless shimmering rings later, happy, nervous hands are still accepting these promises of always from Hertin and Stocker. The designs are always modern and fresh, but the service is still as exceptional as it was in those very early days. Perhaps that rare blend of present and past is the reason Hertin and Stocker has been voted best jewelry store in Iowa City 9 years running. Stop and see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Did you know that motorcycles are vehicles with the same rights and privileges as any other motor vehicle on the roadway? Safe riding practices and cooperation from all road users will help reduce the number of fatalities and injuries on our nation's highways. Because motorcycles are smaller than most vehicles, they can be difficult to see. Their size can also cause other drivers to misjudge their speed and distance. All motorists are reminded to safely share the road and to be extra alert. This message is brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, and your local law enforcement.
Spend this Memorial Day at the ballpark. The Colonels play at noon and will offer a noon game combo special of a regular sandwich, snack, and drink for just $8.50. Or take advantage of our Markdown Monday specials of $1.50 hot dogs and $1 ice cream sandwiches, chips, and small popcorns. Get tickets at Colonels.com and spend Memorial Day at the ballpark with the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Hey, Colonels, let the good times roll. Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
The St. Louis Cardinals and the Atlanta Braves, live from Busch Stadium this weekend.
Sunday, starting at 5 o'clock here on the gym, KGYM.
You see, the Cardinals are moving Dexter Fowler to the top of the order, trying to shake some things up.
Take it Matt Carpenter is still struggling a little bit.
No one in St. Louis cares right now. The best thing going on in St. Louis is the Blues skating for the Stanley Cup, and we'll have Sean Leahy of NBC Sports with us in the 6 o'clock hour. But the Cardinals are living rent-free right now. Until the Stanley Cup playoffs are over, the finals are over, and then focus will shift back to what the Cardinals are or are not doing. Right now, it's easy living if you're Mike Schilt and the Cards. We'll talk baseball with Jack Dom of Mount Mercy with us inside the 5 o'clock hour, his weekly segment, Touching All the Bases. Fridays on the Todd Brommelkamp Show, presented by Two Rivers Bank and Trust, Two Rivers, my neighborhood, my bank, Two Rivers Bank and Trust member, FDIC. You can find them in Coralville and Iowa City. Speaking of Iowa City, Kyle has joined us in the studio. His big board update's presented by Alexander Lumber. You can check him out at their temporary location, 2802 Independence Drive. Here's Kyle.
Iowa and Nebraska were rained out in the Big Ten tournament last night, so they just wrapped up earlier this afternoon with Iowa being mercy ruled 11-1 after 8 innings. It's going to be a quick turnaround now with the Hawkeyes on their last leg against Minnesota later tonight. Scott Docterman unearthed the email from a redacted sender that had reportedly been sent to the University of Iowa and set in motion Gary Dolphin being suspended for his King Kong comments. This and this alone is what set that scandal in motion. Quote, I am very concerned that Dolph made a very uncomfortable statement immediately after the men's basketball game Tuesday night. He said the Maryland player reminded him of King Kong by the way he played. I am white, but I think that is totally unacceptable and worthy of firing. Coach Fran, we love watching this team. It reminds me so much of watching Bobby Hansen and Kevin Boyle play together. They never stopped fighting.
Those were the days.
I told my husband that Connor should always be in the games at the end. The Colonels beat Burlington last night 2-1 to take 3 games out of 4. Jared Akins had 3 hits and a solo shot in the victory, and since his being called up to the Colonels 10 days ago, he's got 4 home runs and 10 RBI, an 8-game hitting streak, and is hitting .380 with an OPS over 1,200. The Colonels are 7-3 since he arrived, so they'll try to stay hot as they start a weekend series here at home against Peoria tonight. Tonight after the show, we're going to have the Twins and White Sox on 107.5 FM, the North Gym. We'll have that series all weekend, of course, as well as Game 6 between the Bucks and Raptors on Saturday and the Indy 500 on Sunday.
Oh, the way Ronnie Lester played. Those were the days. Edith and Archie in here at the piano. We know it wasn't Isaiah Moss who sent the email, right? 434, 1600 AM, 106.3, 107.5 FM with you until 7 o'clock as we take you into a 3-day Memorial Day weekend. Did that one just sink in?
It did. Okay. But here's my newest conspiracy theory. You know how I've been talking
about. I told my husband Connor should be in at the end of every game.
I think it was a coach from another Big Ten school trying to plant some seeds for the negative recruiting that they can do against the Iowa basketball program. They knew that this email was going to get released, and it was going to make them look bad right in the middle of the summer.
I am here for your conspiracy theories surrounding the Gary Dolphin email. 319-366-1600 on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Hertin and Stocker, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years. David Eicholt, set to join us from Omaha shortly, was not a good morning for the Iowa baseball team.
No. Got off to a good start,
to say the least, at TD Ameritrade Park.
They got up 1-0.
And then what happened?
The floodgates opened.
I hope you didn't. If you're listening to this right now, Iowa fan, I hope you didn't talk too much trash to Nebraska after the top of the first inning. Because after that, and they wore the decent uniforms today, Nebraska did. They didn't have the god-awful, ugly, giant U of N Adidas jerseys they had on the other day when they played Minnesota. 366-1600, again, the text line, use it to reach out to us. David is with us now from Omaha, making his first appearance on the program. David Eicholt, who covers the Hawkeyes for 24/7 Sports. And David, early morning for Rick Heller and the Hawkeyes, and not quite the results they were hoping for.
Yeah, it really wasn't. You know, I think bad starting pitching from Grant Judkins, and, you know, he got in a full count with 7 of the first 10 Nebraska batters and only ended up striking out 1. And when you combine that with a big missed bases loaded opportunity in the second inning to only have a 1-0 lead, I think that's when things really started to go off the rails, because Nebraska is a team that knows how to string hits together, and they showed that ability by hitting in the gaps.
Does this sort of show how important starting pitching is in these tournament situations, where yesterday they get a big win over the number one seed Indiana with behind Cole McDonald in 8 innings, and then today they get mercy ruled because their starting pitcher couldn't go deep into the game?
Yeah, I think it really does. I mean, that's what a lot of these tournaments are. Who has the best pitching and who can come up with clutch hitting? I mean, Cole McDonald really threw, you know, put everything into it, what could be his potential last start, and put together one of the best pitching performances I think that Iowa's had all season. And Judkins is interesting because he was, I think, the most consistent starter throughout the year. He had a team low ERA, but he was 4-6 heading into the game. And once he got uncomfortable and gotten a lot of full counts, there's really no coming back from it. I mean, he only went 1 1/3 innings and threw 57 pitches. And that just puts Rick Heller and the Iowa bullpen in a really, really tough spot. And it's tough to crawl out of that hole, even if it's a 2-1 Nebraska lead. When you have to rely on that many pitchers, I think, to get the job done, it's really tough for them to get into a rhythm when so much of the game is remaining. So, you know, Rick Heller really made that a big point of emphasis in the postgame, that they just need to get good quality starting pitching to have a chance in these games.
David Eicholt with us from 24/7 Sports, covers the Hawkeyes at Hawkeye Insider. Minnesota Later tonight, in a do or die, the loser is done for the tournament. What did Rick Heller have to say about the fact that Iowa's next loss will likely be its last?
Yeah, he just said, like I said, he made a really big point of emphasis about starting coaching. He said that Cam Bowman has to really come out and give him a good quality start. And he, you know, kind of relayed back to the point of how McDonald really willed Iowa against Indiana. Because keep in mind, Indiana had the most home runs of any team in college baseball this year, entering that game with 90. So he just said that Cam really has to come out. He has to pound the strike zone. And he has to give Iowa a chance, because Iowa's not really a team that's known for power. I know everyone in the starting lineups has at least one home run, but there's very, very few guys that can go up there at any given moment and really either triple, pound a home run. So he just said that Bowman really has to pound the strike zone and give Iowa a chance and not let it get too far out of hand early. He said if that's the case, then they'll have a chance. But if Bowman only goes for, you know, three or four innings, chances are that Iowa's not going to be in the next game, especially when Minnesota is coming off a 9-4 win over Indiana and had a really, really stellar hitting performance against them. So it's going to be a big task, but it's going to be a, you know, they've got to put it all on the line. He just said they need to play like it's do or die.
No, he had a reliever up in the bullpen pretty quickly today, as I think he knew right away that Grant Judkins probably didn't have it. Do you expect sort of a short leash for Cam Bowman, who has been up and down at times this season? He's been really good, but he's had some starts where he didn't go deep in games.
I don't know about a short leash, but I do think he's going to keep a lot of guys fresh early. He did say that he feels really comfortable with their bullpen situation. And again, that's a credit to Cole McDonald for really going eight innings in game one. So he feels pretty good about that. I don't think there's going to be necessarily a short leash, but if it gets in the same situation as Judkins, where he's throwing, you know, 50, 60 pitches after two and a third innings, then I think we could see it, especially since Heller doesn't want to have to crawl out of the hole, especially in this game. So I think he's going to keep an extra eye on the bullpen. He's going to have multiple guys ready to go, and I think I'd expect him to use maybe three or four pitchers tonight, but I think he's really hoping that Cam can give him at least five good innings. And I think if they can do that, then I think they're going to be in a pretty decent position, you know, to pull out a win and keep their season alive.
Yeah, it's going to be a long night one way or the other, a long day. It started early. It's going to run late. I know Maryland and Michigan are underway as of about 4 o'clock. What are we looking for on a start time? Your best guess, about 8:30 tonight for this game between Iowa and Minnesota?
Yeah, the official release said that it's going to be around 8:30, but just based on how this tournament's gone, I'd shoot for more 8:45-ish. It's kind of been a cluster of a tournament, but the weather is beautiful out today. It's by far the best weather that, you know, the Midwest, Nebraska, Iowa's had in the past couple weeks, I think. So I don't think they're too concerned about anything being delayed, but right now I'd expect maybe a 8:45 start, especially since the Iowa-Nebraska game ran long. Despite it not going a complete nine innings. I mean, 3 hours, and I believe it was 20, 25 minutes. But, yeah, I shoot for about quarter to nine.
Do you get the sense that this team has some gas left in the tank to turn around real quickly and play a tough Minnesota team?
Yeah, I think they do. I think especially given Heller's success in the Big Ten tournament and how he's been able to really turn the Iowa program around, I really don't see Iowa coming out flat again. I'm not sure if they're going to pull off the victory, especially against a really, you know, pretty decent Minnesota team who is coming off that Indiana win. But I do think that Heller's going to have the guys ready to go. I think he's going to make some lineup adjustments, throwing a little bit more backups, throwing a little bit more pinch run situations. And I think he's going to be a little bit more aggressive when it comes to base running, which isn't something that he's necessarily known for. I think when you have your back against the wall, and just the way that kind of the whole tournament's played out with limited opportunities, that, you know, I think he's going to really have to put it all on the line. So I do expect Iowa to really come out with a new gas tank, so to say. So I'd expect a good effort from them.
David, we've been talking Iowa basketball for an inordinate amount of time here during the month of May. What's been your favorite off-season storyline involving the Hawkeyes?
I wouldn't necessarily call it my favorite, but I'd say just with kind of in a big shock was the Jordan Bohannon hip surgery, because I think people realized how big of a loss that Isaiah Moss was, because I was kind of blown away that people were sweeping Moss under the rug. about how small of a loss he would be. He's a near double-digit scorer. He's the guy that can go and get his own bucket. I would argue he was Iowa's best create-your-own-shot guy on the floor. There's a reason why Iowa looked for him or Jordan Bohannon when it came down the stretch of the shot clock. So I think just the combination of those two and just being like, oh, okay, yeah, maybe Isaiah Moss was a really, really big loss. And I think it's just going to keep the storylines alive, especially heading into the 2019 basketball season, if Jordan Bohannon is going to be able to play or if this is going to be, you know, almost a brand-new Iowa team heading in next year, because it's interesting. We thought that they were going to be one of the most experienced teams coming back, but then now Daly's gone. Tyler Cook's gone. Jordan Bohannon could potentially miss. Isaiah Moss is gone. So it's going to be really interesting, especially considering how Patrick McCaffrey, who probably won't redshirt now because he got to throw somebody on the floor, how he adjusts with the team and what Fran does with the starting lineup if he moves Joe Wieskamp to the two, and how many minutes that incoming freshman Joe Toussaint will get at the point guard, again, assuming if Jordan Bohannon is not able to play.
Has the outlook for the season gone from so much experience coming back to probably a rebuilding year in about a month and a half?
Yeah, I would definitely say so. I think that Iowa is going to be better than I think people expect, because I think people are expecting a full downward spiral. But, you know, just from my perspective, I think Luka Garza is going to have his most consistent year as a Hawkeye. I think this is the year where he really turns it on, becomes a very well-known face in the Big Ten. And people forget that Joe Wieskamp really impressed NBA scouts in his workouts. I was told by a couple people that he was farther along than they expected. But he got a little bit tired near the end of his workouts. So they gave him a few more skills to go and develop. But they do think that he's a future NBA guy. So I'd expect a huge jump from Joe Wieskamp next year. So you look at Garza, you look at Wieskamp, you still have some returning experience. You got Connor McCaffrey. You got Ryan Kreener, who I think is going to be a big part, plus Penzel and Nungy. I think Iowa's still going to be in pretty good shape, but you really can't overemphasize the loss of Isaiah Moss and Jordan Bohannon.
David, what was your favorite part about the email that got Gary Dolphin in trouble? Was it the reference to a team from 40 years ago or the line about playing Connor at the end of the games?
I think the misspelling of Connor McCaffrey was for something else, especially considering, like you said, they brought up a 40-year-old reference. Then you go and misspell Connor's first name, especially with him playing baseball and basketball. I mean, you got the knowledge to know that about the 40 years ago team, but you don't remember how to spell Connor. That whole situation is going to get a lot more weird, I think, before we get any more clarity on it. But I think it's got to be just misspelling Connor's name, especially when you're emailing the father of that child.
David, we appreciate it, and we'll touch base further down the line, probably closer to a football season. Thanks for the time.
Hey, thanks, fellas. Take care.
David Eicholt of 24/7 Sports covers the Hawkeyes at HawkeyeInsider.com. If we had the Unsolved Mysteries music, if we were allowed to play the Unsolved Mysteries music, I want Robert Stack in a darn trench coat on the campus of the University of Iowa trying to uncover the sender of the email. Dennis Farina. Both of those guys are dead, right? Dennis Farina. Dennis Farina is a discount version of Robert Stack. Anybody that's familiar with the TV show Unsolved Mysteries knows that show was solely Robert Stack's. Once they rebooted that and replaced him with Dennis Farina, it wasn't worth watching anymore. That show used to scare the crap out of me when I was a kid. Did you ever watch Unsolved Mysteries?
I did.
Was it with Robert Stack or Dennis Farina as the host?
I don't remember. Some guy.
Dennis Farina had the mustache, Chicago accent.
Yeah.
Oh, you watched the discount version.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, you got to watch the real. See, this is the age
Unsolved
difference.
Mysteries.
This is the age difference between me and Alex.
But I will say that it scared the crap out of me too.
It's a scary show. What birthday was it yesterday? What number?
Number 28.
28. I'm really glad that I didn't pull the trigger on a number 30th birthday card for Alex. But when we return, what did I get Alex for his birthday, especially since he and Kyle had to pull their weight extra hard for me yesterday while we were at Mulligan's, while they were at Mulligan's. I was hanging out at home with my sick kid. 319-366-1600. Don't forget, before we depart here for the top of the hour break, somebody's going to take home one of two $30 gift cards to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. We've got those for you all afternoon long here. As a matter of fact, we'll give one away in the next 10 minutes. Back with more after this.
Nobody beats our prices at Menards, so you can save big money on creating an exciting new landscape for your home. Enjoy outdoor get-togethers on your new patio. Choose from a great selection of pavers and patio blocks on sale now. Right now, red and black blend concrete patio pavers are just $4 for $1. Save on landscape blocks and more. Good through June 2nd. Plus, a Menards gift card is perfect for Father's Day.
Save big money at Menards.
I sat at the bar last night watching Kawhi Leonard change the entire complexion of the Eastern Conference Final. I had a delicious citrusy IPA to my right and a fresh cheeseburger to my left as I enjoyed the evening at Buffalo Wild Wings. I'm speaking of the brand new All-American Cheeseburger, of course. Two fresh, never frozen patties covered in gooey American cheese and stacked to the ceiling with delicious burger toppings, the classic ones, of course. And don't worry, you don't have to be an IPA fan to find something to wash that burger down. Choose from one of the dozens of drink options offered at B-Dubs. Get the new All-American Cheeseburger at Buffalo Wild Wings, and as always, please drink responsibly.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's the Memorial Day sale at Ace. Right now, get great deals like buy one, get one 50% off on gallons of our top paint brands like Valspar and Clark and Kensington. And with our Ace Extra Mile promise, we'll help you get everything you need to paint in one trip or deliveries free. Don't miss the Memorial Day sale at Ace. Buy one, get one 50% off our top paint brands now through Monday. Limit 2. Delivery subject to availability. Visit acehardware.com for details.
Need to wax your car but can't find the time? New 303 Touchless Sealant is the faster, better, smarter way. Spray on and rinse off. That's it. Get that Just Wax shine and protection in minutes, adding hours back into your day. The brilliant protective shine in 303 Touchless Sealant lasts up to 6 months, twice as long as traditional wax. It works great on glass and wheels, too. More protection and shine, less effort and time. Available at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
After a 6-1 West Coast road trip, Twins are finally back home. A three-game weekend series begins with the White Sox on Friday. Hi, this is Corey Provis. Jose Berríos on the mound for Game 1 against the Sox on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Lunchbox Heroes is taking a break next week for the Memorial Day holiday, short work week, so they don't want to overtax us too much. But Alex and I are going to be headed to the Pet Mall in Iowa City on June 5th. To treat some workers there to lunch. You can get more details about Lunchbox Heroes by visiting our website, kgymradio.com. While we're there, maybe we even peek into the windows at Hertine and Stocker on the Ped Mall, 101 South Dubuque Street, the sponsor for the KGYM Radio text line. And Alex's birthday was yesterday. Again, I felt really bad about having to bail on work for a sick child, especially on Alex's birthday. That's what the 523 stands for in at Alex Kuhn 523. I thought he was the only person who did that, but then I ran across somebody earlier this week who explained that their Twitter handle was also their birthday, and I thought, okay, it's not just an Alex thing.
It was just me being very unoriginal and uncreative like 5 years ago, but yes, that's what
I like
it's for.
The people that take the, I think Twitter automatically suggests like a name when you sign up for an account, and usually it's just a bunch of numbers after your name.
So it looks like you're a bot.
I like those. Yeah, exactly. The people who look like bots but are actual human beings. Come up with some creativity. I was not creative when figuring out what to do for Alex's birthday. I took the easy way out, didn't I?
No,
I don't. Is a gift card the easy way out?
It may have been the easy way out, but you were very perceptive in what you chose to give me.
Cash money, homie.
Yes, you gave me a gift card to a department store.
Phrases. Oh, you can use that thing anywhere. I bought it at the store.
Yeah, bought it at that store.
Yes, but okay. You can use that in any of the thousands of locations worldwide.
You know what?
That particular credit card is accepted at.
I have no problem with gift cards, especially ones that you can use anywhere. That will come in handy. So, yeah, maybe you took the easy way out, but I appreciate it nonetheless. Thank you.
I was going to go the St. Louis Blues route, but unfortunately, I think other than a trip to Coralville and Coral Ridge, I don't know of too many places around here that have Blues stuff.
They don't have much of a selection there either.
Plus,
so.
With the jerseys that I've seen you wearing lately, I think you pretty much have that covered at the moment. I thought, you know what? Here you go. He wants to use it on gas? Fine. He wants to use it on his precious Buffalo Wild Wings? He can do that. $25, there you go. Plus, I will continue the tradition of the birthday lunch.
So no.
I owe you lunch at the place of your choosing.
Well, I appreciate
that. He's going to say Buffalo Wild Wings. $4.54. As we make our way toward the top of the hour here, is a gift card the easy way out, or would you be happy to receive a gift card? 319-366-1600.
It's a pet peeve of mine.
It gives you the freedom to use it on a tank of gas. It gives you, well, now you ain't getting a tank of gas for $25, but maybe if you've got the fuel saver working or something, tank of gas, couple drinks. Let's see, what other fun places are credit cards accepted at? You could go hog wild on the parking meters in downtown Cedar Rapids. What are those, 75 cents an hour? Load it up on that Passport parking app.
It's a pet peeve of mine when people shame people for gifting gift cards to others.
I hate gift cards. They're
Why?
Very impersonal. And at the same time, it was practical because I can't find anything that's personal, so here's the better question. $25 gift card or $25 in cash, which is better? Cash, if I did the cash, that would have felt really like I was giving you a graduation card or something. Like graduation party, here's $25 in cash. Good luck at college. Have fun with it. Don't spend it on beer. If you had a dollar for every time somebody said that to you, or maybe you actually, maybe you stayed out of trouble when you were in high school, but if you had a dollar for every time somebody thought they were being cute by saying, I don't spend that on beer when you get to Iowa City. Spoiler alert, I spent it all on
You'd
beer.
You'd have a lot of beer money if you got a dollar every time somebody said that to you.
I spent it all on beer and then some. Let's go to the phone lines. Joel in Muscatine is one of those hearty souls who's still with us on a three-day weekend. Joel, what's on your mind?
Oh, just the gift card discussion. You did the right thing, Todd. You went with the non-specific gift card.
Yes.
He can use it anyway. He could go on a date and use that and not look like a cheapo person, depending on how expensive the bill was. He can use it multiple places, so that was well done. And a brief little anecdote. My grandma got a Hy-Vee gift card for Christmas. I'm the youngest, and when I was in college, we would pull that resource together and throw a giant party with like 10 cousins. We're talking over $1,000 worth of things being purchased for this party.
Very nice.
When my grandmother found out, we were all scared because she was, a child of the Depression and didn't drink or do anything. Like that. And when she found out that her grandchildren were all pooling the resources together and having a party, she increased the dollar amount on the gift that year because she found out we were using it to spend time with each other. So you can't go wrong with a gift card. That's basically the moral of the story.
You can't go wrong with a gift card. Joel and Muscatine, enjoy your three-day weekend. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, I will reveal to Alex what I almost bought him for a birthday present. Back with more after this.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Welcome back in. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a Friday heading into the Memorial Day weekend. Five o'clock hour coming up next. Jack Dom, Mount Mercy baseball coach, with us. His weekly segment, Touching All the Bases. Love It or Leave It, on the way as well. Right now, give us a call, 319-366-1600. You're going to take home a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. We've got another one of those we'll give away inside the 5 o'clock hour. 366-1600, our first of two gift cards. No, that is not what Alex was going to get. He almost got a box of these. Would have been collectibles. You could have kept this sealed and give them to your grandchildren or something, and maybe they could have paid for college. You almost got a box of Alliance of American Football League trading cards. They were on sale, and I thought, I bet Alex would know many of the players in the AAF. And I was like, you know what?
Still have those.
I'm not wasting the money. I'm just going to give him the money.
Thank you.
Love It or Leave It is on the way next. 1600 AM, 106.3, 107.5 FM. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continues after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
BN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. The Toronto Raptors are one win away from their first trip to the NBA Finals. The Bucks have lost three straight for the first time this season. ESPN's Tim Legler says the Raptors are taking Giannis Antetokounmpo out of the Bucks offense.
They're loading up the lane to an extent that I don't think I've ever seen a perimeter player face that's on this level. And he doesn't really have another way to trump that.
Tim Legler on Golic and Wingo. Game 6 in Toronto with the Raptors hoping to close it out. And our coverage starts tomorrow at 7:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. NBA players and referees have cooled off over the last 2 weeks after a rash of ejections and technical fouls earlier in the playoffs. There haven't been any in the 9 conference final games. Georgia freshman quarterback DeJuan Mathis is expected to make a full recovery after emergency surgery for a cyst on his brain. No word yet on his status for the upcoming season. Naomi Osaka, ranked number one in the world, says she'll be 100% when the French Open starts on Sunday.
Coming up Monday, it's one of the biggest sports weeks of the year. NBA Finals tips off. Only 100 days until the NFL season kicks off and the Spelling Bee. Plus, who won the weekend? Go with the Wingo, Monday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
Welcome to Spain and Fitz.
The biggest challenge this time of year is which sport to watch. So many choices. The start of the baseball season, NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs. Watch it all at Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar. You'll see every home run, every slap shot, every slam dunk on Brick Alley's 180-inch big screen with stadium seating. They've got 20 beers on tap, happy hour weekdays from 3 to 6, and trivia Wednesday nights at 7. The choice is easy. Go to Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar on 7th Avenue in Uptown Marion.
When it comes to the playoffs, coverage is everything. The same applies to the wireless game. With Straight Talk Wireless, you get full nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks, but for up to 50% less than those big carriers charge. For the exact same high-speed networks, it's like getting full-court coverage at half-court prices. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
100 years of hard work can take you far, and no one knows that better than Goodyear. In 1918, we started the Akron Wingfoots basketball team, laced up, and took to the court. And we've been outperforming the rest ever since. Goodyear proudly celebrates our 100th anniversary in basketball and our relentless dedication to being unstoppable. Goodyear, more driven.
The St. Louis Cardinals and the Atlanta Braves, live from Busch Stadium this weekend.
Sunday, starting at 5 o'clock here on the Gym, KGYM.
We've got all the sports for you this Memorial Day weekend. Welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you. The 5 o'clock hour drive time, driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Check them out online, LinderTire.com, or in one of their three Iowa locations, Grinnell, North Liberty, and Iowa City. Of course, Fridays here on the program presented to you by the good folks at Two Rivers Bank and Trust. You can find them online at tworivers.bank. My neighborhood, my bank, Two Rivers Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Kyle's going to join us here in the studio coming up in about 20 minutes. He'll have another Alexander Lumber Big Board update for you. And a whole lot more here inside the 5 o'clock hour. John in Cedar Rapids takes home the first of two $30 gift cards to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. We've got another one of those that we will be giving away sometime here within the 5 o'clock hour. Mount Mercy baseball coach Jack Dom is set to join the program as well. His weekly segment, Touching All the Bases, we'll discuss, among other things with Jack, the red-hot Minnesota Twins. You can hear them tonight as they take on the Chicago White Sox with Jose Berríos on the mound. Jose Berríos has, let's just say, he's had tremendous success when facing the Chicago White Sox throughout the course of his career. He is 7-1 with a 2.12 earned run average in 9 career starts against the White Sox. His next highest win total, 5, against the Orioles. And quite frankly, do those even count? Because it's the Orioles. But Berríos taking the ball tonight, and we'll have that game for you right here on 107.5 FM, the North Gym. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. The conspiracy theories on the Gary Dolphin email are so wacky, we can't say some of them on the air, but please do know this. Your work on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line has been appreciated today.
It did not go unnoticed.
It certainly caught my attention and the attention of the others here in the KGYM studio, and the wackier the conspiracy theory, the better. But there are a number of you out there who think that this is an inside job of some sort in this pseudo war between Fran McCaffrey and Gary Dolphin over, and it's just, what is there another basketball program in the country that has an open feud between its head coach and its play-by-play broadcaster? I would love to know if there is. 366-1600, as we mentioned, Jack with us shortly. We're also going to preview Monday's beginning of the Stanley Cup Finals in Boston at the TD Garden, as the Bruins will be a slight favorite at home after 11 days off against the St. Louis Blues. I think back to the 2005 World Series when the Cardinals played the Tigers.
Yeah, 2006.
And 2006, the Tigers wrapped up the American League Championship Series in short order. I think it was a sweep. And
yeah,
against
the Oakland Athletics.
I thought going into that series that Detroit was the better team.
They were.
And well, thank you for years after the fact telling me that I was right. I love hearing that.
I was a freshman in high school at the time.
I threatened to record my wife saying that the first time that she says it. I'm going to record it, and I'm going to play it back. I felt Detroit was the better team going into that series, and they sat around. They swept and then sat around and got rusty. And St. Louis, meanwhile, was that the Mets?
That was the mess, yes.
The Andy Chavez.
Andy Chavez.
Big catch at the wall.
Robbed the home run. Yadier Molina home run off of Aaron Heilman. That was the year.
And the Cardinals played the longer, more interesting series, and they carried the momentum right over into the World Series, and Jim Leland and the Tigers never stood a chance. 319-366-1600. Do we want to do Love It or Leave It, or do we want to take Jim's phone call about Fran McCaffrey? I like chaos, and I think this is going to send us down a wormhole of chaotic hell. So let's go to just outside of Tama and bring Jim on the program. Jim, what's up?
Hey, as far as another program, wasn't it Illinois State this year or somebody that wasn't going to give their lead guy press credentials for the NCAA tournament?
Bradley.
Bradley did not.
Bradley.
The beat Bradley writer Brand. From the Peoria newspaper.
The email, whatever. But I'm going to defend Fran a little bit here. I was listening to a rival station this morning, and forgive me.
Jim. Okay. You're forgiven. Hey, it's Memorial Day weekend. Everybody's in a good mood. You're forgiven.
You said this guy was talking about Iowa's got to go get a grad transfer. It's ridiculous if they can. And going on and on, and then at the end he said, oh, and by the way, Iowa State's in flux too. So I think it's just a rivalry between Fran and the media, and he's not touchy-feely, but I still like the guy, so I think he just is. I don't want to say double standard between him and Coach Prohm. I like them both, but it just seems whatever he does or says, it gets a little more attention.
Jim, I won't argue with you on that, especially here in Eastern Iowa.
Right.
Makes sense, but I was really hoping that was going to be more chaos than it actually was. But the important thing about Jim's phone call is he may have been listening to somebody else earlier, but he's listening to us now. Racket, as Jim Rome
would
say.
I was hoping Jim was going to be like, all right, my wife was the one who sent the email, and we would have the inside scoop here.
You guys are my only option between 4 and 7, and that's the only reason I'm listening to you. If we could get somebody to call in and say that, it would live on in promo lore forever here. Let's go ahead and do Friday Love It or Leave It.
If you don't love it, leave it. Let the song that I'm singing be a warning.
Two choices. One answer.
We either love it or we leave it.
It's okay. Ricky gave us permission to do this.
So we want to make sure moving forward that we have the okay to call that segment Love It or Leave It. Since you're sort of the owner.
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Fine with that.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Number one.
All right, Todd, we're going to start with you. Very simple. Bears.
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 This has nothing to do with the Chicago Bears. It has everything to do with Jamie Pollard's comments on the Cyclone tailgate tour earlier this week during a stop in Dubuque, in which he was quoted by the Telegraph Herald, the fine newspaper there in the city of Dubuque, that he felt they had to poke the bear when he took over 14, 15 years ago, the bear being the University of Iowa and the Hawkeyes, but that now Iowa State is the bear. And those comments, delivered on purpose from Jamie Pollard, certainly hit their mark. Because for the better part of the last 2 days, Hawkeye Twitter has been furiously uncovering records against Iowa State in football and men's basketball and women's basketball and wrestling and can't do baseball. Iowa State doesn't have baseball anymore. But the bottom line is Iowa fans have been doing a lot of digging to show, to prove that Iowa State is not the bear right now. Guess who wins? Jamie Pollard. Because he poked the bear. He knew what he was doing when he made those comments. And the best sign of a healthy rivalry is when both rivals live in the other's head rent-free. And I'm telling you right now that not only does Iowa occupy a special place in the mind of Iowa State, and that's very clear and it always has been, but don't believe for a second that the opposite is not also true. That Iowa State is living rent-free in Iowa's head right now, because an innocuous comment like that delivered to a partisan crowd of Iowa State fans should be seen for what it is. Jamie Pollard trying to rally his base, his own people. He's not talking to an iClub event in Polk County or something. He's at a Cyclone tailgate tour. But those comments just look at the reaction of the Iowa fans. And if you have to try to prove to somebody that they're wrong, how wrong they are, and he knew what he was doing, it's a healthy rivalry. But Iowa State's not the Bear. I'll leave it.
Number two.
The Warriors need Kevin Durant back in a hurry.
I'm going to leave this. I watched Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals last night. The Toronto Raptors have the Milwaukee Bucks on the brink of elimination, and it just looks right now that Kawhi Leonard can't be stopped in this series, and Giannis Antetokounmpo, no matter how great he is, the supporting cast and their ability to knock down shots is just not there right now. And I just don't see either of these teams being able to match up with the Golden State Warriors as they are right now without Kevin Durant. They're almost more fun to watch without Kevin Durant. They move the ball better without Kevin Durant, and they can use their depth more without Kevin Durant. So I think the Golden State Warriors are fine going into the NBA Finals with what they have on the court, and as long they need to make sure that KD is at least 75% to 80% before he even thinks about coming back. He's not going to be 100%. Nobody's 100% this time of year. But at least get him most of the way healthy before you even think about having him come back out on the court, because right now I think they're in a very, very good position to beat whoever they're going to play with what they have at this very moment, which is Steph Curry and Klay Thompson playing out of their minds.
Number three.
It's do or die for Hellerball.
It is do or die for Iowa baseball. They got their rear ends handed to them by Nebraska this morning in a run rule shortened game. Always embarrassing to have that happen, especially in a tournament setting and to a conference rival. But Iowa, the next loss for the Iowa baseball team will be its last until next season. The Hawkeyes need to win in Omaha. They need to win the tournament in order to advance to the NCAA regionals, and now they find themselves on the loser's side of the bracket trying to fight their way back. They'll take on Minnesota tonight somewhere after 8 o'clock. That's everybody's best guess right now. I've seen anywhere between 7:30 and 8:30, but given the way that the tournament has played out so far, there's no way that this Michigan-Maryland game wraps up anytime soon. It's not going to be a nice, tightly played, quick affair. We'll leave it at that. So the Hawkeyes are going to play late into the night after playing early in the morning. They turn to, I believe, Cam Bauman is the starting pitcher for Iowa. He's 4-4 with a 5.49 ERA. And we'll talk with Jack a little bit about this coming up in a few minutes when he joins us for his weekly segment, Love It or Leave It. But when it's do or die, when it's now essentially a single elimination tournament, guys can really show you what they're made of here, and I think this is an opportunity for Cam Bauman to step up and push Iowa to one more game. Our poll question, by the way, today at KGYMradio.com is, will the Hawkeyes play a fourth game in Omaha? In order for that to happen, they would need to beat Minnesota tonight or tomorrow if the game gets pushed back due to time constraints or weather. I'm not really sure what the forecast is in Omaha. Poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot.
Number four.
We've been talking about it in the first hour of the program, the infamous email.
I love this. I love it. I love it. I love it. For those of you that don't know, I'm sure most of you do, the Freedom of Information Act has allowed Scott Docterman of The Athletic to come across the email that was sent to, apparently, Fran McCaffrey regarding Gary Dolphin's statement about Bruno Fernando playing like King Kong. Now, the email has been released, and this thing is absolutely too good to be true, which is why I love it on May the 24th. We're in a little bit of a slow period for sports news, so seeing this glorious email in all of its glory, without really a header, without much structure, with the spelling of Connor McCaffrey, the coach's son, C-O-N-N-E-R instead of C-O-N-N-O-R. It is just so glorious and too good to be true, which gets everybody throwing out all these fantastic conspiracy theories using the Hurtin and Stocker text line 319-366-1600. I don't think it was an inside job. I really don't. But the way that this email is written, I can definitely see why people would take that and run with it. And looking at the text line and seeing all of the conspiracy theories that we have received over the past hour and 15 minutes, it's pretty fun on May the 24th. I'm not going to lie.
Number five.
Appearing on this show makes careers.
I'm going to love this because
whodunit?
People who have listened to the program for a really long time, and you may have noticed that there are a lot of people in the news this past season and in the last couple months who have been on this show who were sort of under the radar, not really huge national figures, and now here we are. Luke Voigt, friend of this show, joined us when he first came up to the major leagues with the St. Louis Cardinals. He's a friend of Alex's from way back into childhood, and now Luke Voigt is like the pride of the Yankees. If Gary Cooper were alive, they'd be making a remake of the movie with about Luke Voigt instead of the original subject. Speaking of remakes, I know people are really jacked for Aladdin this weekend. I am not one of them, but Luke Voigt was on this show, and now his career has taken off in New York. Nick Nurse was with us shortly after he was hired as the head coach of the Toronto Raptors. Nick Nurse, a native of Carroll, Iowa, is now one win away from coaching the Raptors in the NBA Finals. Pretty amazing, right? You never know who you're going to hear when you tune into this program every day. Somebody can actually go from slumming it on the air in Eastern Iowa with us to being a household name. How can you not like that?
And getting back rubs from Drake.
And getting, you can bet on that. The next game, you can bet on whether or not Drake will make physical contact with Nick Nurse.
It has to, yes has to be the favorite, right?
You're not making any money by betting on yes, if I recall seeing the odds correctly. Will he be allowed to roam free, I believe was another question that we, please keep your Drake caged up. Did you see what the daughter of the Bucks owner did to Drake the other night?
She was sitting
next to Aaron Rodgers. And that caused a little bit of a stir on social media because the Bucks daughter, the owner of the Bucks daughter, is very attractive, a 23-year-old young woman whose name escapes me at the moment. Danica Patrick is dating Aaron Rodgers. She is not with Aaron Rodgers because it's kind of a big weekend in the racing world. And so you had people speculating that Aaron Rodgers and the daughter of the Bucks owner were a couple now, which is not the case. She had a Pusha T shirt on, not a Pusha T-shirt, a Pusha T shirt on, and is apparently seen as a dig at Drake. And he noticed because he's now having some fun with her on various social media platforms. And this is all
God
above my pay
NBA.
Grade. And you millennials out there who still listen to the radio, I'm giving you Drake and Pusha T. Take it. Love it or leave it, you're going to love it.
Number six.
Big-time players elevate their team.
I love this. We chatted briefly about this with David Eichold of 24/7 Sports in relation to the Iowa basketball team heading into next year. There's not a lot of hope for Iowa fans right now. Jordan Bohannon is probably going to be out for the year. Tyler Cook and Isaiah Moss will not be returning. They're going to be without four of their five starters from last season. And this season next year went from being one where a lot of people were saying, this is the year, to, man, this could be a rebuilding year. But I do think that there is something to be said about Joe Wieskamp coming back to school. Because I do believe that Joe Wieskamp can be a dude in the Big Ten. And by dude, I mean he can be a guy that carries a team. Now, can he do it in his sophomore season? We'll see. He would have to take a big jump from what was a spectacular freshman year to be a guy that averages 17, 18, 19 points per game and still be somewhat efficient scoring the basketball, but he can do a multitude of different things on both ends of the court. And because of that, there's a glimmer of hope that next year Iowa can exceed expectations of a lot of their fans. Now, it's not going to be easy, but I'm saying it can happen because based on what the NBA scouts were saying and what David was saying, he is a lot further along than a lot of people realize. And next year, without all of the guys around him making it so that he can be more aggressive, you could see a big jump for Joe Wieskamp. And he is certainly the type of player that can make guys around him a lot better. So I love this.
Number 7.
It's time for robot umpires in the MLB.
I am going to leave this. There has been a ton of discussion about how terrible the umpiring was in the series involving the Phillies and the Cubs at Wrigley Field. And while I do believe that there were some really poor calls made in that series, and you don't have to look very far to find them on the internet, I'm going to have the umpires back here a little bit. Because the game, in my opinion, has completely changed from where we were about 20 years ago. And when you look at things like spin rate and how analytics have taken over the game, and you've got guys that are now, and again, the Pitching Ninja Twitter account, Rob Friedman's Twitter handle, underscores this almost on a daily basis, where you can go and look at just how filthy and nasty some of these pitches are. And the strike zone is defined by the rule book. A strike is when a ball crosses any portion of, passes through any portion of the strike zone. It's a strike. And so you've got guys with nasty movement throwing pitches harder than many ever did. And Greg Maddux, when he came up to the Cubs in the late 80s, was considered a hard thrower. He threw about 93. Now, you throw 93 today, you most likely are a middle inning reliever. You're not much of anything. You got guys throwing Noah Syndergaard out there pumping 97, 98 miles an hour on the regular. So balls are moving in all different directions, and these umpires just, they can't keep up with that stuff. I think we're at a point now where it's more difficult than the average person realizes to call balls and strikes behind home plate. I did it at the high school level for 4 or 5 years, and granted, I wasn't great at it, but it's tough. And those high school kids aren't out there breaking off slurves very often, I can tell you that much. So I don't think we need robot umpires. I think we just need to understand that where we are with the game of baseball right now is the fact that pitchers are doing things, unprecedented things we just haven't seen in baseball history. And until the umpires can figure out a way to catch up with that, and I don't know whether they ever will or not, I don't think robots are the answer. So I'm going to leave it.
Number 8.
Loyalty.
Todd, our friend PJ Fleck had some interesting comments about his recruiting techniques. Quote, I have a rule. You commit to me, you can't go see another place. Not because I'm insecure, but if you want to be committed, you're going to be committed. Too many people teach young people to be committed, but also 1 foot in and 1 foot out. You've got to be all in. Let's talk about loyalty, PJ Fleck. Let's talk about PJ. I like PJ Fleck, but he is completely
friend of the show
off base
times two
here. And here's an example. Now, I don't like to draw examples from the University of Memphis, but I'm going to do it. I know this kid named Hunter Hill. Hunter Hill was a 2016 recruit by Mike Norvell, the coach at Memphis. He brought him in, really smart kid. He was down to Memphis and Harvard. He stayed at home and went to Memphis. I mean, you can make all the jokes that you want, but very smart kid, worked his butt off for the program for 3 years, was behind NFL player after NFL player at the skill position. Didn't play much. Now, he goes to the end of the year meeting with his head coach this year, the guy who brought him in, by the way, and the head coach says, hey, we think you should probably transfer. So he says, oh, okay, like I don't want to go anywhere else. This is where I'm loyal to this school. I am staying here. I want to stay here. They said, all right, well, we're pulling your scholarship and we're giving it to somebody else. So I don't want to hear anything more about loyalty and how much you need to be bought in and committed to a school and committed to a coach when a coach making millions of dollars can just take your scholarship for no good reason and give it to somebody else. That's all I have to say about it.
As an aside here, if you polled 100 college football fans, what do you think the percentage would be of people who think a scholarship is a guaranteed 4 or 5 year ride?
Probably about 75%.
They're not. They're yearly, year by year. They are year to year. Now, you can make the argument you're not going to get recruits if you constantly pull scholarships, but we've seen other schools. Alabama comes to mind.
Right.
The mystery medical maladies that come to these offensive linemen that are in their third year and haven't cracked the two deep yet. All of a sudden, they've got career-ending injuries, but the assumption is, oh, he got a scholarship and it can't be taken away. No, it's a year-to-year thing, and we're seeing more and more instances where they're taken away, and you're playing with fire. I agree with you, because that's going to get out on the recruiting trail pretty quickly.
Absolutely.
You want to talk about being used negatively against a coaching staff. That right there is probably item number one.
Number nine.
Conspiracy theories.
How can you not love conspiracy theories? We've been taking a number of them today at the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line with regard to the email that was sent between some unknown sender and Fran McCaffrey's public email address with regard to Gary Dolphin's comments about Bruno Fernando. And those comments led to a suspension, and there was the thought that perhaps he would never call an Iowa basketball game again, or maybe he would lose his job altogether. And you read the email, and it's just this bizarre word salad between the person identifying their race and their thoughts on what Dolph said. And then the next paragraph, they're calling back to an Iowa basketball team that's almost 40 years old. And then they're ending the email by saying that Connor McCaffrey should be in at the end of games. And then the email is signed and the signature is redacted. This is the type of stuff that lends itself very easily to conspiracy theories. And have fun with it, because it's so god-awful bizarre that, I mean, you would think, okay, somebody's going to get really mad about that. Like, somebody must have been really torqued off that Gary Dolphin said what he did. And I can't wait to read the email, because it's going to be a treatise on racial tropes and stereotypes, and it's going to be 9, 10, 11 paragraphs long. It was one paragraph. Very, very innocuous. And it led to a major flurry of negative attention and headlines. So, yeah, you know what? Conspiracy theory away. Go ahead. Love it.
Number 10.
Baby Stephen A. Smith.
I can't love this enough, Todd. There is a Snapchat filter that a lot of people are having a lot of fun with, and basically it changes the face of an adult into a baby. It makes the face a lot smaller, and people are doing this with Stephen A. Smith, and they're also making his voice more high-pitched on some of the most fantastic,
like
some of the most fantastic takes that Stephen A. Smith has ever had. And I can't stress this enough. Go watch it on YouTube. Go on Twitter and find these videos, because they will make your day. They will make your day that much better. It's like watching a video of puppies. Because it is one of those things where you can be having a bad day. You watch the video of baby Stephen A. Smith, you're going to get a chuckle, and everything's going to be all right. So I love this.
If you don't love it, leave it.
5:31. We'll take a quick timeout. Don't forget, a $30 gift card to La Cantina still on the way in the next 30 minutes. Jack Dom, the Mount Mercy baseball coach, will be with us for his weekly segment, Touching All the Bases. We'll get his thoughts on Iowa playing a do-or-die game in Omaha tonight against Minnesota. Plus, Kyle's going to have another big board update for you when we return. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented on Fridays by Two Rivers Bank and Trust. Two Rivers member FDIC. Back with more after this.
When I walk in the bank, there's two or three people that say, "Hey, Pat. Hi, Pat. How you doing? Thanks for coming in today." That's what makes a person feel special.
Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust has made the commitment to me and the other union trades in town to be that union bank.
Is it the how can we help you feeling Pat Loeffler and the members of Carpenters Local 308 get every time they stop by Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust?
They've been there for me every single time that I've asked them. It's a hometown feel. You have a place that you can come in and sit down and talk with somebody on a personal level. That means a lot to my members. I work with Brittany, I work with John Rodriguez, I've worked with numerous people at Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust over the years. You're just not another number to them. You're a face and a name. They know you.
Or is it the cookies?
Oh my goodness. I put them in top of the line. I hit their cookie counter before I leave the bank every time.
Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust. Meet them at peopleyoucanbankon.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Disturbed, the Evolution Tour.
Did not look among it down with the sickness.
October 9th.
Are you ready?
U.S. Cellular Center.
Get up, get up.
New album, Evolution.
Get up,
out
get
now.
Up.
Special guest. In this moment. Disturbed, live.
Darkness, my own.
Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
This Saturday is Star Wars Night at the Colonel's. The first 1,000 fans will receive a free pair of Star Wars socks, and fans can meet Star Wars characters on the concourse. The team will wear Star Wars jerseys that'll be sold via silent auction to benefit the American Cancer Society. Get tickets at colonels.com, and may the Force be with you this Saturday at the Colonel's.
It's hard to get ahead when you start out behind, in school debt, looking for a job in a crowded market. Here's a smarter option. There's a place that will pay you to learn, for real. You get on-the-job training with classroom instruction and get paid and receive benefits the entire time. The apprenticeship program with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is like getting paid to go to school and start a solid career. Find out all about this great way to get ahead in life at smart263.org. smart263.org.
After a 6-1 West Coast road trip, Twins are finally back home. A three-game weekend series begins with the White Sox on Friday. Hi, this is Corey Provis. Jose Berríos on the mound for Game 1 against the Sox on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
5:35, and you can hear it right here on one of our three frequencies. Also coming your way on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. And Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio, the main gym. 1600 AM. Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn with you till 7 o'clock tonight, and then it's off to a three-day weekend. We will reconvene with local programming on Tuesday. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes hit the airwaves. The gym class will kick off an abbreviated week at 3 o'clock on Tuesday. There is a third member of both the gym class and this program. It's our producer, Kyle Mann. He's in the studio right now to bring you a Big Board update. Big Board updates brought to you by Alexander Lumber and Answers by Alexander. You can find Alexander Lumber at 2802 Independence Drive and the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert Street in Iowa City.
Iowa and Nebraska were rained out in the Big Ten tournament last night, so they just wrapped up earlier this afternoon with Iowa being mercy ruled 11-1 after eight innings. It's going to be a quick turnaround now with the Hawkeyes on their last leg against Minnesota later tonight. Scott Docterman unearthed the email from a redacted sender that had reportedly been sent to the University of Iowa and set in motion Gary Dolphin being suspended for his King Kong comments. This and this alone is what set that scandal in motion. Quote, I am very concerned that Dolph made a very uncomfortable statement immediately after the men's basketball game Tuesday night. He said the Maryland player reminded him of King Kong by the way he played. I am white, but I think that is totally unacceptable and worthy of firing. Coach Fran, we love watching this team. It reminds me so much of watching Bobby Hansen and Kevin Boyle play together. They never stopped fighting. Best of luck. I told my husband that Connor should always be in the games at the end. The Colonels beat Burlington last night 2-1 to take three games out of four. Jared Akins had three hits and a solo shot in the victory. And since being called up to the Colonels 10 days ago, he's got four home runs and 10 RBI, an eight-game hitting streak, and is hitting .380 with an OPS over 1,200. The Colonels are 7-3 since he arrived, so they'll try to stay hot as they start a weekend series here at home against Peoria tonight. Tonight after the show, we'll have the Twins and White Sox on 107.5 FM, the North Gym. We'll have that series all weekend, of course, as well as Game 6 between the Bucks and Raptors on Saturday and the Indy 500 on Sunday.
The next time I see Bobby Hansen, I'm going to ask him if he's got beef with Kevin Doyle. Because, Kevin Boyle, if you read the email, you could take it a couple ways. They never stopped fighting. Those two players... They always hated
each other. Yeah. They were just constantly fighting.
Probably a reference to that team and how hard they played, but
you never know.
Conspiracy theory. Now we've got a conspiracy theory inside a conspiracy theory, because there could have been a rivalry from 40 years ago that the emailer has unearthed.
Some may say ongoing tensions between
Tensions between a pair of former teammates. 538. Jack Dahm is set to join us here shortly. The Mount Mercy baseball coach makes his weekly appearance with us on the program, and we'll talk Hawkeye baseball with him to start, because Iowa is up against it in Omaha at TD Ameritrade Park, waiting for the completion of Maryland and Michigan. And then shortly after that game is over, they will get underway tonight. The scheduled first pitch is somewhere between 8 o'clock and 8:30. Oh, I guess we'll let the current game being played right now dictate things, but Iowa not getting the results that it hoped for earlier today as the Hawkeyes lose to Nebraska, now falling into the loser's bracket portion of the Big Ten tournament. And Jack, I think that's where we'll start today again with the Hawkeyes. You've found yourself in this position before when you were the head coach in Iowa City. Is it difficult to rally a team around going into a do-or-die situation, or do some teams thrive on that, the fact that they know their next loss will be their last?
Well, the toughest part is you're just coming off a loss, so that takes a lot out of you. Sometimes it's actually better if you lose by, 10 runs compared to losing a game in extra innings or a real close-fought game. So that's an advantage. But the hardest thing as a coach is once you lose that first game, it's really hard to get your guys motivated to come out that second game. No matter what you say to them, you need something good to happen. The other tough part is right now Minnesota's coming off a big win, so they're going to be feeling a little bit better about themselves. The key for the Hawkeyes is to try to score first. If they can get the lead first, start to feel good about themselves, they'll be in a lot better shape. So, but this will be the toughest game for Rick to get the guys ready to go. If they win this one, now they're coming off of wins, and then they're going to be playing teams that, they're going to be coming off a win instead of a loss.
What are the challenges of facing a team coached by John Anderson in an elimination game?
Well, he's a tremendous game coach, but the thing that I always found the toughest about playing Minnesota is they play a pro-style game. It's a very low-key, low-energy type of team. So if you get a lead on them, they really slow the game down and slowly try to get the momentum back. And then also vice versa. When they get the lead, all of a sudden they just kind of really, really slow things down. And so it's a tough team they kind of lull you to sleep. They're going to pitch. They're going to play good, solid defense. And they really execute in every phase of the game. We always talk about the Cardinal way. Minnesota Gophers have that way about them. It's just playing a real casual, nonchalant game where they're going to throw strikes. They're going to make plays. They're not going to beat themselves and come up with timely hits.
Either way, tough way to see the season end unless the Hawkeyes can get a couple victories here and advance to the regionals. You got to give Rick credit for the job that he did coaching this team, though, this year, especially given all the injuries they faced.
Well, and I think that's what happened to him here the last week and a half, 2 weeks, is, the injuries to the pitching staff. When Dreyer goes down, Probst goes down, those are two mainstays, two guys that were going to give him a ton of innings. And, they really did a good job. And you look at, they didn't have a potent offense. They didn't have that star player this year, Isaiah Fillard might be able to develop into that superstar hitter for him next year. But they've got a nice team that they've kind of had to mix and mash it a little bit. And, You know, so he did. He did a great job with him. He's getting everything out of him. You know, Rick, though, when his back's up against the wall is usually when he does his best job as a coach. You're going to see him be extremely aggressive early. If he gets some base runners on, you know, he doesn't have the burners to steal bases, so expect him to try to hit and run, do a couple little things to get the lead. He understands how important that's going to be for the team. Even though they, you know, didn't get a good start, they still have plenty of pitching available because of the start that McDonald had yesterday. So long day for them. They just got to find something good to happen here early on.
There's a difference between the two games so far, that game against Indiana and then the game today against Nebraska. Sort of underscore how important the starting pitching is, especially this time of year.
Yeah, it really is. When you're in tournament time, pitching's a huge key for you. The starting pitching, being efficient with their pitches, going deep in games, because then that saves your bullpen. The better starting pitching you get, it just sets you up for the rest of the tournament. So that's going to be a big key today for the Hawkeyes, is to find a way to you know, come out and have Cam Bowman throw a good game. You know, Cam struggled. He's been up and down a little bit. But this is typically when, you know, as a sophomore, you hope to see him step up and have the game that can lead him into becoming a frontline starter in the Big Ten next year. But starting pitching is always a key, and being efficient with your pitches, because you want to be able to bounce back later on in the tournament if you do make a good run in the tournament.
Jack Dom with us for his weekly segment, Touching All the Bases, as we talk baseball, both college and the major league ranks. Let's go ahead and dive in. We've got to start with the Cubs. They lost to the Reds today 6-5. The bullpen blowing not one but two opportunities in this game. They've got to do something, right? They're negligent for going into the season knowing that the bullpen was most likely going to be a mess, and now you have Pedro Strop, who's still on the injured list. What do they do, Jack? Can they do anything here to make this bullpen better?
Well, you know what? You know, you've heard Tom Ricketts speak, you know, throughout the previous years, and then also I heard him speak just a couple weeks ago, that if he feels like they have a chance to win, they might have to dig a little deeper in the pockets and spend for a certain player. And you know what? Right now, I think, you know, with this loss, I just heard a stat. I was recruiting last night in Chicago. I was driving back, and with that blown save today, they're 9-for-19 in save opportunities. They're below .500 when they got the lead late in the game, and that's not good. So they must, because it's going to start wearing on the team. And so you got to go out and spend some money, or be willing to trade some prospects. You know, it's a shame that they didn't try to trade Happ or, you know, one of those guys in the offseason when they had a little more value to themselves to maybe be able to go out and get closer that you could have under control for a couple of years, and the contract was a friendly contract as far as financially. So they definitely have to. You know, I think they were trying to wait to see when Strop got back if maybe, you know, he could come back and be that closer. But I still think Strop is much better as a setup guy than a true closer. So they're going to get their hands forced here pretty quick, that they've got to go out and make a move and make something good happen for this team, because they're losing way too many games late right now.
Jack, I know it seems like I ask you about Yu Darvish every week, but does this sort of feel like the first time in his time in Chicago where there are back-to-back starts where there's something to build on? There's something to sort of instill some confidence in him, where he only has walked three guys in the last two starts and has struck out 18.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, it's a shame that when you're talking about a guy that's making the kind of money that Yu Darvish is, that you're talking about going 5 1/3 innings and 6 innings and only walking three guys is a positive. But it definitely is a positive for him, and something that he can feel good about. You know, if he can go out every start and get him 6 innings, start to get back in that comfort zone, and then maybe be able to develop into that, you know, number 3 starter. We're not going to see the old Yu Darvish, I don't think, the guy that went out and dominated games. You know, he's trying to simplify things, which I think has definitely helped him. Instead of trying to throw those 5 pitches for strikes, as we talked about last week, you know, he's trying to go to that cutter more. And so sometimes you have to simplify, and I think that's the part that's helped him. And hopefully he can go out and continue having some positive outings here.
Jack, have you ever had success challenging the outcome of a game. We saw Joe Maddon do this to no success earlier, but he was trying to make a point to Major League Baseball. You don't see it all that often, and it's very rare that a challenge leads to an acceptable outcome to the person making the challenge.
Yeah, no, it's I've never had it where it's helped us. I've heard of a couple situations where, you know, maybe it was an illegal player of some sort, but no, I really haven't, especially in Major League Baseball. You know, so I've never been in that situation. And in fact, sometimes I don't even know when I'm supposed to protest. I did protest a game this year. We were playing a game and the other coach protested. So I said, I'm going to protest too. I don't know what I'm protesting, but I'm going to protest the game. So, it really doesn't. I think, just as you said, I think he was trying to play with the – first of all, he was trying to make a statement to Major League Baseball. And then he was also – he actually had a point that, you know, he was touching the ground. I personally don't think it was a balk. But when Major League Baseball came out and said, if you stop, you know, and complained about Edwards, you know, he was trying to get in the head of Doolittle. So there was two things. He wanted to make a statement to Major League Baseball. He wanted to support his player and Edwards also, who, you know, really went backwards when he had to change his windup, and he also wanted to try to mess with Doolittle a little bit, but unfortunately it didn't work.
Jack, the St. Louis Cardinals are 6-14 in the month of May. Is it cause for concern just based on all the issues that they're having right now, or is it still sort of the wait and see its early approach for the Cardinals?
Well, I think it's, you know, when the way that they've been playing over the last 20 games, I think it is something to be concerned about. Now, the positive thing for them is you look at nobody else in the Central here over the last week and a half has been playing real good themselves. So they really only lost about a game in the standings over the last 10 games to the Cubs because the Cubs aren't playing as well and the Brewers aren't playing as well all of a sudden. And you hit those moments, but it starts to become a concern when it's over 20 games, you know. You know, they're not getting the consistent hitting, scoring runs consistently. The pitching hasn't been consistent. It definitely is, and that's when you got to do something to try to shake up the team a little bit. If it's make a move, if it's put someone else in the starting lineup or starting rotation. But I think it is starting to be something that you should be concerned about. You know, I haven't seen enough of their games to watch them early on. When I watched them, I was very impressed with their energy level on the field. They seemed to be taking the extra base, playing that Cardinal way. The one time I saw them in the past week and a half, they weren't as energized. They were back on their heels. So they got to do something to get those positive feelings back. And, you know, sometimes it's making a move on the roster or taking somebody out of the rotation.
Yeah, let's talk about taking somebody out of the rotation. Can they afford to run Michael Wacha out there any longer? His ERA is near 6. It seems like he'll be going pretty well in a game, then all of a sudden a big home run or something just goes wrong and things spiral out of control from there.
Yeah, you know what? It always seems to be that one big inning, and that's the thing that's tough to overcome because it's tough for a manager. When one of the things that you want to do is you want to have that bullpen ready when a guy gets in trouble. But when all of a sudden you're sitting there and you're like, okay, we're doing pretty good. He's gone 4 innings. His command's pretty good. Things are going good. And then next thing you know, bam, it's one inning. You know, it's a walk. It's a double. It's, you know, whatever. And also
a grand slam to Taylor Davis.
Yeah, exactly. So, and you don't have time to get anybody up. And I think that's the hardest thing when you got a starting pitcher like Wacha. And it's tough to manage a guy like that. And, you know, sometimes going to the bullpen can help. You know, if I'm not mistaken, did they put him in the bullpen? He was in the bullpen a year or two ago, and he started throwing a little bit better. Maybe that's what they're going to need to do with him. You know, look at what Chatwood's doing for the Cubs now, you know. All of a sudden, you put him in the bullpen, and now he's becoming effectively wild. He's not walking as many guys. So, but he's got that electric arm. Wacha is on the downside as far as the velocity, and he's just got a pitch. And I haven't seen his starts enough to say he's the guy that should be out, but he needs to pitch a lot better and a lot more consistent for him if they're going to get this thing turned around.
Interestingly enough, I think within the last 10 minutes, they have announced that Michael Wacha is going to the bullpen. So there's your answer. Alex Reyes is making his way back at some point to the big leagues. But as Jack pointed out, sometimes a guy can find themselves when they go to the bullpen. Let's dive into the American League right now. And the Minnesota Twins hitting home runs at a pace that franchise has never seen before. How can you explain the home run explosion, especially with one franchise, the way that we've seen the Twins so far this year?
You know, that's a good question. 8 home runs in one game, and I think I saw it. They broke the record for the most 400-foot home runs in a game. I mean, that's absolutely unheard of. You know, part of it is that we've talked a little bit about that, the baseball being a little more juiced. And I think as we get farther along, you're seeing some incredible home run numbers throughout Major League Baseball. But the Twins, for sure, are a team that's definitely taking advantage of it. You know what? Hitting's contagious. Hitting home runs is contagious. These guys are feeling pretty good. And how would you like to be playing them right now? If I'm not mistaken, I think the White Sox are going up there, and the White Sox are starting to play some pretty good baseball themselves. So it's going to be a great series to watch that. I can't explain it. You know, they got some young guys. They're swinging the bat well. They got some power guys. But if you were to talk to the Twins before the beginning of the year, I don't think they're going to sit back and say we're going to be one of the top home run hitting teams in Major League Baseball. So, you know, ride the hot hand, and they're definitely swinging it well.
Yeah, we'll have the White Sox and Twins opener tonight on 107.5 FM, our North Gym. Thanks a lot, as always, Jack. Enjoy the Memorial Day weekend, and we'll touch base with you next Friday.
Sounds great. I appreciate it, guys.
Mount Mercy baseball coach Jack Dom with us on the program.
Finally. I wish I would have seen that before I asked
for the
walk-up.
Literally, within our friends at MLBTradeRumors.com had that story. I think right as you were asking that question, I think is when I saw it. So that's about as timely of a question as you can get to, because I think clearly it was on the minds of the front office in St. Louis as well. And Michael Wacha is one of those guys. You and I have talked about him before, and tremendous when he came up, and then he started to have some injury issues, and he has not been the same pitcher since then. He's one of those guys that it's why I love the game of baseball, because every once in a while you'll watch Michael Wacha and you'll see flashes you'll see flashes of rookie Michael Wacha when he absolutely took the National League by storm, and then he'll regress to, and just like Tyler Chatwood has been decent recently, and all of a sudden you've got Cubs fans going, he struggled last year. This is the Chatwood that they signed. You see, okay, that's what a scout or that's what a front office saw in a guy when things are going well.
Yeah, and the point that Jack made about him being difficult to manage, it's such a great point, because he's one of those guys, usually with a pitcher, when they come to they start wearing down in a game, you can tell. Like, there are signs of, okay, well, it's a gradual, he'll give up a hit, then a walk, and there's trouble, and you can just see that things are starting to deteriorate. With Michael Wacha, he'll strike out 6 in a row, and then all of a sudden, a walk, a home run, a double, it just comes out of nowhere. So I can't even imagine how difficult it is to manage that guy and just try to anticipate when that one blow-up inning is coming, because it just usually comes completely out of nowhere.
Twins, White Sox tonight, 107.5 FM, the North Gym, and you can catch all, they're calling them Rocco's Sockos, the nickname. It's not quite Harvey's Wallbangers, but you take the nickname game isn't as good in 2019 as it used to be 20, 30 years ago in Major League Baseball. Twins all summer long, 107.5 FM. Twins affiliate, the Cedar Rapids Colonels at home, a Z102.9 Mug Club tonight at Veterans Memorial Stadium, as the Peoria Chiefs are in town for a 4-game set this Memorial Day weekend. Keep an eye on those start times, especially on Monday. I believe that is a noon start for the Memorial Day contest. The Chiefs, the Class A affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals, still, to my knowledge, featuring first-round draft pick Nolan Gorman on the roster.
I believe so.
Still there.
Still
okay.
There.
I'll get my first look.
He'd been struggling a little bit, so I think they're trying to let him get out
of
that
fall. What a shame to have him stick around the Midwest League a little bit longer so I can get out to the ballpark and see him. I miss them. The Chiefs were in town at the start of the season for the opening series. Colonels, not quite getting that no-hit performance the other day that they got on Wednesday, the back half of the doubleheader. We'll take a quick timeout. We've still got Sean Leahy of NBC Sports set to join us inside the 6 o'clock hour as a little thing called the Stanley Cup Final gets underway on Monday night. One of us is more excited about that than the other. Details when we return after this.
No matter what kind of day you're having, make it better at Mulligan's. Stop in with your friends for happy hour every Monday through Friday from 3 to 6. Take a break with their lunch specials. And when Iowa gifts us with great weather, take advantage of it on their big outdoor patio. Don't miss live music at Mulligan's, too. Keep an eye on their Facebook page to see who's performing next. Mulligan's Pub, 1060 Old Marion Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids. At Mulligan's, you always get a shot at a better day.
We've all heard the joke, why do they call it golf? The answer, all the other four-letter words were taken. Hi, Dave Austed here. We hear those words when golfers airmail the green or duck hook the ball into the water. It could be a swing thing, or it could be your clubs aren't fit for your size, swing, and ability. Custom fitting isn't just for the pros. In fact, custom fitting golf clubs will actually benefit the amateur golfer more. So take some advice from Austed's, a Golf Digest Top 100 fitter, and book an appointment to get fit today. Play better, have fun, and shop Austed's.
Now that Human Resources VP Ashley Campbell has Kronos for HR, payroll, talent, and time, she's managing her workforce like a rock star. She even has her own hype song.
I'm the spark before the fire. I'm the power in the train. I
have a really diverse workforce with different hours, skill sets, and pay grades.
Don't stop. I'm the dream and you should know that.
Now we're motivating and engaging the right people. Every step of the way.
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
Let's draw the 5 o'clock hour to a close with a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. Let's not do that. I'm checked out. I'm already on to my... I'm looking ahead to next weekend and next week, the four-day week. We've got a $30 gift card to La Cantina, Mexican Bar and Grill. Sometimes the tongue starts going and the brain kicks in a little bit too late. You're going to La Cantina, one of their three locations, Marion and two in Cedar Rapids. LaCantina319.com is the website. You can check them out before you go. Keep them in mind for your next catering need. La Cantina, $30 is yours. Kyle's going to let us know who the winner is. Sean Leahy of NBC Sports will be with us. Alex's Blues pursuing the Stanley Cup Monday, Game 1. How does Sean see the series playing out between the Bruins and the Blues? We'll find out next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
Yo Sports Center.
I'm Steve Lennox. Toronto Raptors return home for Game 6 Saturday night. Raptors will have an opportunity to close out the Milwaukee Bucks after Thursday night's winning Game 5 on the road in Milwaukee. Game 6 Saturday night on ESPN Radio with NBA Countdown. At 7:30 p.m. Eastern, Mike Golic Jr. today on Golic and Wingo on how the Raptors came away with the road win in Game 5.
Guess what Kawhi Leonard was doing? The perfect drive-in dish night from him. 9 assists, a career high for him. All of them led to three-point makes for their
amazing team.
That is amazing. All of them. So those Fred VanVleet shots came because Kawhi Leonard was able to do what Giannis wasn't. Kawhi Leonard was able to get through all of the bodies thrown at him in the paint, find a way to either get near the rim and make a play himself or have so many people crashing down on him that Fred VanVleet of the world and the Kyle Lowry's had wide open looks on the outside.
Mike Golic Jr. today on Golic and Wingo. Days after extending head coach Terry Stotts, the Trailblazers extending the contract of president of basketball operations Neil O'Shea today. Adam Pac-Man Jones announcing his retirement today via social media. 35-year-old Jones, 7 games last season with the Denver Broncos. Most of his 12-year NFL career spent in Cincinnati with the Bengals. Baseball, Mets agreeing to a minor league contract with outfielder Matt Kemp. The deal pending a physical. Kemp was released by the Reds earlier this month. Nationals general manager Mike Rizzo said that manager Davey Martinez's job is safe for now. Nationals home tonight against the red-hot Marlins have dropped five in a row, and they are currently 12 games under 500.
After dropping games one and two in Milwaukee, the Raptors have won three straight, including game five on the road. Now the series returns to Toronto. Coverage of game six begins tomorrow at 7:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
602, welcome back in. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on 1600 AM as well as 106.3, 107.5 FM. Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio and great local programming like this one here. We are off on Monday for Memorial Day, so we get to enjoy a three-day weekend. Hopefully everybody out there does as well. When we reconvene on Tuesday, we'll have a Game 1 Stanley Cup Final action to look back on as Boston hosts the St. Louis Blues. And with us now to preview that series, Sean Leahy of NBC Sports. We've had Sean with us on the program before in the past, and you appreciated that segment, so we thought we'd bring him back again to chat about this Cup Final. And Sean, is Boston going to be able to shake off the rust here on Monday in Game 1? It's been a long time since we've seen them skate.
Yeah, it's going to be 11 days once puck drops on Monday, and that's going to be one of the interesting things heading into the series, that long layoff, considering just how well they were playing and how just dominant Tuukka Rask has been. Definitely your Conn Smythe frontrunner at the moment. They had a scrimmage last night, a full-on scrimmage. They sold out TD Garden just to kind of keep the legs a little bit and keep that, you know, sharpness and intensity. You know, that's something that the Blue Jackets did earlier in this playoffs, and they had a long layoff as well between the rounds one and rounds two. So, everyone came out of that unscathed. There was a little scare of Brad Marchand, but you know that was a challenge for Bruce Cassidy and his staff to try to keep that sharpness. He consulted with Bill Belichick and the Patriots to how to deal with the the long layoffs between games. And I would be shocked if the first 10-15 minutes of Game One, the Bruins look a little un-Bruin-like as they're trying to refine their legs and really get to their game and find that intensity again.
Does some of the concern sort of stem from the way that the three teams who have swept series in these playoffs have all lost in the next round?
I mean, it could be that, but it's just the nature of not playing games for 11 days. I mean, any hockey player would tell you this time of year, yeah, you'd love to have some time off, but not that much time off. You know, maybe 2-3 days off, rest up, especially the Bruins being a veteran team. Guys, a bunch of guys north of 30, got Zdeno Chara, who's 41 and missed the last game of the series against the Hurricanes. So you want to get that rest for sure, but 11 days of skating and playing, medium intensity practices against your own teammates, it's not, you can never simulate that of a real NHL experience. So that's going to be the challenge for Cassidy in these final few days before Game One.
Sean Leahy with us from NBC Sports, previewing the Stanley Cup Finals, which get underway Monday in Boston. How do you think these two teams stack up against one another?
You know, Bruce Cassidy had a great line the other day where he called the Blues pretty much a twin. And he's dead on. They both have goaltenders playing great. They both have been getting great depth from the second and third lines. They both have great top lines. And it's really, if this thing goes seven games, I wouldn't be shocked. You're looking at the Bruins team who has a number of guys who were on that team in 2011 who won the Cup, but also a number of younger players who have stepped up and contributed. The guys who they also picked up in trades, Marcus Johansson, Charlie Coyle, Chris Wagner as well. You know, on the Blues side, you obviously have that big top line with Tarasenko,
Schwartz and O'Reilly, but yeah, guys like Oscar Sundquist chipping in. Patrick Maroon got that big goal in the round two. Tyler Bozak as well, the big offseason acquisition last summer. So both of these teams are I would agree with Cassie, they're both twins. They're both getting a lot of the same production from these areas of playing good defense and good goaltending. So I'm curious to see if special teams ends up being the difference here in the series.
What do you make of the fact that these are the two most physical teams left in the playoffs, or the two most physical teams that made it through to the Stanley Cup final? Is that a coincidence at all?
I don't really read into that. I know after the Ducks won the Cup in 2007 with a similar style with some toughness, you know, the NHL and really all sports, it's such a copycat leagues. And other teams tried to mimic that, and it wasn't so successful. But I think in this age in the NHL, yeah, you got to be tough for sure. You can't be a soft team, but you got to have, you know, your speedy players. You got to have your skilled players, your elite talents, and both of these teams possess that. It's not just the fact that they can play a physical game, and they made it through three rounds relatively unscathed, no real major injuries, as opposed to look at the Sharks where that's probably the reason why they ended up losing that series the other night. But I think both teams just got great goaltending, obviously very good coaching, and their elite talent and their secondary scoring has really helped get them through.
Sean, Alex and I were talking earlier this week about just how improbable it is that the Blues got to this point. At one point in the season, dead last in points in the league, yet they didn't tear down, they didn't tank, they didn't do anything that would lead them to go into a rebuild, and here they are. Is this by dumb luck or some other a chance of fate?
I think it's just a mix of Craig Berube's system of finally kicking in. I mean, he was on the job a month and a half in early January when they were in that dead last position in the NHL, and then obviously Jordan Binnington comes along, and the whole season, you know, just changes on a dime like that, and here they are, four wins away from the first ever Stanley Cup. And it's funny to think back after Doug Armstrong fired Mike Yeo, and he said how the coaching search was going to go far and wide. He's been looking to Europe and NCAA, and here we are. He had his guy was there right along the bench next to Yeo in Craig Berube. Now, Berube is soon to be no longer the interim head coach, and he's definitely earned the job with the job that he's done. But I think it's just a part of the turnaround is definitely Binnington, obviously, but also there's a lot of veterans on that team, and certainly when you're coming towards the halfway part of the season in dead last in the league, you know, that's a kick in your pride. That really does not look good for that team, for those players, and I'm sure they're embarrassed by it. And it was just a matter of maybe they needed a new voice behind the bench and a different kind of attitude. I mean, Berube did this with the Flyers a couple of years ago when he took over Peter Laviolette, so it's no surprise that whatever message that he's been telling this team for the last 4 months has got through pretty quickly, because then they reeled off that winning streak, that which really vaulted them up the standings and kind of set them up for the big charge that's brought them to where they are right now.
The Blues made the Western Conference Finals in 2016, and Doug Armstrong had a really big decision to make following that year, whether or not to bring back his captain and David Backes. They didn't want to pay him because he was aging, and they didn't want to give him a long-term deal. Armstrong said, we need to get younger, we need to get faster and more skilled. It's clearly worked out, but what do you make of this storyline of David Backes facing his former team, the team that he played for so long and was the captain of?
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting one. Backes kind of said the other day, it's like it's too bad that they're facing one another, because his first final has come against his best friends. You know, and Alex Pietrangelo was one of his best friends. He was saying the other day, and how in the next 3 weeks, you know, they're not going to be friends, and you know, they're going to put their friendship on hold. And you know, it was a necessary move for Armstrong. Backes, you know, with the heavy style that he played and plays, he knew his body was going to wear down, as we've seen since he's gone to Boston. He's missing time with injury. He's not the same player. He's been healthy scratch a number of times. You know, this season, Bruce Cassidy's kind of had to find a new role for him within the lineup. So he's definitely a different player, but I think he's found that new role in the second act of his career as he's getting up there. And it's going to be fun to see in game three when they go back to St. Louis. I'm sure he'll get a nice warm reaction from the fans for a brief while before they go back to booing him and the rest of his teammates.
Are we going to see an effective Zdeno Chara in this series? I know he's been dealing with a groin injury. He gets the time off, but I think that's one of the keys to this series.
Yeah, and you know, I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt him. You know, he missed the last game of the series against the Hurricanes. Bruce Cassidy said it wasn't serious, so it almost sounded like they were giving him the night off because they knew they had the 3-0 cushion where they can take that chance. But he's at his age, he keeps himself in really good shape. He's not obviously the Norris Trophy winning Zdeno Chara anymore, but he's still an effective defenseman. He's still a guy who can play at least 20 minutes a night for you and has done so in these playoffs, which tells you something just about his makeup and the way he keeps himself in shape, where at this time of year, he can still give you that much time on the ice and be an effective player and be a guy who's relied upon, especially with his young defense partner, Charlie McAvoy, who they've been together now for a couple of years and made a great pairing. So his health, it will be interesting to see, especially going against a physical team like the Bruins, if maybe that's kind of an area that they target up the physicality and see if they can, kind of weaken and slow some of these Bruins players.
Do you get the sense that the Blues are sort of America's team right now when it comes to rooting against seeing another Boston championship parade?
Well, I mean, it's been so long since Boston's had a parade in their city, right? So it's,
I think
if you polled hockey fans, I think the Blues would kind of get the edge there. The Bruins, they do have Brad Marchand on their team. He's certainly a divisive figure in hockey. But with the Blues story, they made those first three cups only because of the alignment of after the expansion of '67, and they lost their first three and haven't been back since. And they haven't even won a Stanley Cup final game in their franchise history. So, and just with the whole story this whole season, right, from worst to first, and Jordan Binnington as well, Craig Berube, there's so many likable players and great stories on that Blues team that I think the rooting interest will certainly be on the Blues side for the series, because I think we're all kind of tired of seeing the duck boats out in Massachusetts and go down the streets of Boston.
A lot is being made about the Blues' defensive pairings against the elite skill, the top two lines of the Boston Bruins. Do the Blues have the firepower on the blue line to contain those two lines?
Yeah, I think they've done a good job throughout these playoffs. Peter Angelo has been solid, and Parayko has been done. They've been good, and I think Jay Bouwmeester's had his ups and downs this season, but I think he's been decently effective this postseason. It's certainly a guy like Backes who has played in the league for forever, and this is his first shot at the Stanley Cup. So it's going to be a challenge for sure, because the Bruins, they don't just have that top line. They could come at you with those second and third lines, and even the fourth line, who are dangerous and have scored big goals this postseason. So you can shut down that top line with Marchand and Bergeron, but the next guys hopping over the bench are going to give you an even bigger challenge. So that's going to be huge for the Blues to withstand that attack and minimize the scoring chances. But they know with Binnington back there and what he's done, they certainly have the confidence where if the defense has an off night, Binnington is a guy who can steal a game or two for them.
Let's stick on the topic of the goaltenders. With the way that these two guys are playing, how much of a feeling out process do you think there might be in the first couple of games?
Well, I think the Bruins have had enough time. I think they got all the video in the world in Jordan Binnington at this point. I mean, I'm sure they have his minor league, all his videos from that concern. They've had 11 days to look at it. But, I mean, all these teams, they have advanced scouting so that they know the weak spots of each of these goaltenders. And it's just a matter of exploiting those weak spots in each guy. But you look at the way Rask has been playing and Binnington, he hasn't been as good the last couple weeks as he was. I know you saw in the last three games of the series, but the postseason as a whole, he's been down a little bit. But at this point, it's just a matter of playing your system, getting to your game, and really creating the best chances, because the chances are so limited this time of year. That's why special teams are so important. Mistakes are huge and magnified. But both goaltenders can, the way they've been playing, especially Rask, if you're making a mistake, there's some confidence there where your goaltender is going to end up bailing you out.
Sean, if I put you on the spot right now, who winds up hoisting the cup?
I'm sticking with the Bruins in six. I just think as evenly matched as these two teams are, I think Rask has been the better goaltender of late, and I really, really, really like the Bruins secondary scoring, the way those guys like Charlie Coyle, Marcus Johansson, Chris Wagner, guys that have stepped up and been able to score big goals and meaningful goals as they've marched through three rounds of the postseason so far.
Sean, you just broke my co-host's heart, but we appreciate having you on the program with us. The St. Louis native is over here sulking now. Sean Leahy, NBC Sports. Hey, enjoy the Stanley Cup Finals, and we appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate
Give him a follow on Twitter at Sean_Leahy. That'd be a hell of a series, one way
be.
Or the other. I do like the fact that you hear Boston saying that they feel St. Louis is pretty much a clone of them. I like evenly matched series. And you get an evenly matched series, I think anything can happen.
I think that it is a pretty evenly matched series. I think it's a toss-up. Doesn't necessarily surprise me that a lot of people are picking the Bruins. A lot of people are more familiar
embrace
with the Bruins.
Embrace the underdog
Absolutely.
Role. You've got to embrace the underdog role.
And quite honestly, if Jordan Binnington has been struggling these as of late, I'd hate to see what he would be like if he was actually playing well, because he's given up 2 goals in the last 3 games and has been...
I sensed that was coming.
He's been pretty good. Tuukka Rask has been outstanding as well. So, 2 great goaltenders, 2 very skilled teams, 2 physical teams, and I actually have no idea what kind of tone this series is going to take on and how quickly it might open up.
Well, I can tell you from firsthand experience that you can get to Tuukka Rask in a Stanley Cup final. He's not unbeatable. So you've got that going for you. Again, that'll get underway on Monday. We will not be on the air. No local programming Monday. Lots of Memorial Day baseball courtesy of our friends at ESPN. So we'll reconvene with local programming on Tuesday. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes will have the first gym class post-Memorial Day. The gym class brought to you every day on KGYM by Third Base Brewery here in Cedar Rapids. You can learn more about them by visiting our website, KGYMradio.com. And speaking of a 3-day weekend, judging by the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line right now, many of you have already headed into your 3-day weekend. We'll catch you on the other side when we return on Tuesday. We still got a little ways to go here. Stick around. More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on the way after this.
100 years of hard work can take you far, and no one knows that better than Goodyear. In 1918, we started the Akron Wingfoots basketball team, laced up, and took to the court. And we've been outperforming the rest ever since. Goodyear proudly celebrates our 100th anniversary in basketball and our relentless dedication to being unstoppable. Goodyear, more driven.
The year was 1919. Barbasol shaving cream was invented by a dreamer named Frank Shields. The world's first modern shave cream, Barbasol changed the face of shaving forever. A few billion shaves later, Frank's dream lives on. Behind every face is a dream. Barbasol proudly salutes every fearless, self-assured, wide-eyed dreamer all across America. Celebrating 100 years, Barbasol.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
This Saturday is Star Wars Night at the Colonel's. The first 1,000 fans will receive a free pair of Star Wars socks, and fans can meet Star Wars characters on the concourse. The team will wear Star Wars jerseys that'll be sold via silent auction to benefit the American Cancer Society. Get tickets at colonels.com, and may the Force be with you this Saturday at the Colonel's.
Quit eating your burgers off a coffee table. If you want to eat a burger, put it on a bar. Follow your instincts to B-Dubs for the new All-American Cheeseburger. Fresh, juicy beef smashed till it's crispy around the edges, covered in gooey cheese, and stacked to the ceiling with deliciousness. And knock that baby down with a frosted beer at the bar. Just like the sports gods intended. The new All-American Cheeseburger at Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar! Please drink responsibly.
It's spring cleaning time, and the Cedar Rapids Linn County Solid Waste Agency is your one-stop drop-off for garbage and recycling. The Landfill and Resource Recovery Building on County Home Road is open 7 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Saturday, so you can avoid the lines on Saturday by stopping in during the week. And remember, to help keep our roads clean, safe, and avoid getting a big fine, cover your load. Thank you for helping keep garbage off our streets. Need more info about garbage and recycling? Just go to solidwasteagency.org.
Whatever you drive should feel like a sweet ride, right? That's why I take my baby to Milex in Cedar Rapids. They treat her with kid gloves and treat me like I know what I'm talking about. I always feel good walking in there, and I really appreciate their complimentary customer shuttle. They even donate 5% of my bill to my kid's school. And when I pick up my car at Milex, they leave candy on the dash. How sweet is that?
Milex Complete Auto Care, 2010 Sylvia Avenue Northeast. Open now during remodeling. CedarRapidsMilexAuto.com.
Oh, wow. Disturbed, the Evolution Tour.
Down with the sickness.
October 9th.
Are you ready?
U.S. Cellular Center.
Get up.
New album, Evolution.
Get out now.
Special guest. In this moment. Disturbed, live.
Darkness, my
tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it.
Didn't
see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
After a 6-1 West Coast road trip, Twins are finally back home. A three-game weekend series begins with the White Sox on Friday. Hi, this is Corey Provis. Jose Berríos on the mound for Game 1 against the Sox on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
6:24, we welcome you back in as the show heads into a three-day weekend. And if you are still with us, we appreciate you listening. Tune back in on Tuesday. As we mentioned, Scott and Mark will kick things off on the Gym Class. Local programming returning on Tuesday to 1600 AM as well as 106.3 and 107.5 FM. Todd Rommelkamp and Alex Kuhn along with our producer Kyle Mann. Sounds like some severe weather could be headed to parts of the listening area there. So keep on top of that tonight and be careful if you are out and about, especially to the southern portion of the listening area, 106.3 FM and south of Johnson County. And we'll keep you, at least while we're on the air here, abreast of any developments as far as any further warnings or watches go. Our producer, Kyle Mann, has joined us in the studio. Time now for your final Alexander Lumber Big Board update of the day. You can find Alexander Lumber at their temporary location, 2802 Independence Drive in Iowa City. That's because they're going to move in to a new permanent location later this summer. But for right now, still at that temporary location, Alexander Lumber can help provide you with the materials you need to get that summer building project done. Here's Kyle.
Iowa and Nebraska were rained out in the Big Ten tournament last night, so they played this afternoon with Iowa being mercy ruled 11-1 after eight innings. It's going to be a quick turnaround now with the Hawkeyes on their last leg against Minnesota later tonight. Scott Docterman unearthed the email from a redacted sender that had reportedly been sent to the University of Iowa and set in motion Gary Dolphin being suspended for his King Kong comments. This and this alone is what set that scandal in motion. Quote, I am very concerned that Dolph made a very uncomfortable statement immediately after the men's basketball game Tuesday night. He said the Maryland player reminded him of King Kong by the way he played. I am white, but I think that is totally unacceptable and worthy of firing. Coach Fran, we love watching this team. It reminds me so much of watching Bobby Hansen and Kevin Boyle play together. They never stopped fighting. Best of luck. I told my husband that Connor should always be in the games at the end. The Colonels beat Burlington last night 2-1 to take three games out of four. Jared Akins had three hits and a solo shot in the victory, and since being called up to the Colonels 10 days ago, he's got four home runs and 10 RBI, an eight-game hitting streak, and is hitting .380 with an OPS over 1,200. The Colonels are 7-3 since he arrived, so they'll try to stay hot as they start a weekend series here at home against Peoria. They're going to be getting started in about 5 to 10 minutes. Tonight after the show, we'll have the Twins and White Sox on the North Gym. We'll have that series all weekend, actually, as well as Game 6 between the Bucks and Raptors on Saturday and the Indy 500 on Sunday.
How much time yesterday did you guys spend on Megan Gustafson getting cut by the Dallas Wings?
A little bit.
A little bit.
Not a ton, but a little bit.
Did a little reading on that. I didn't realize that they only had 12-person rosters in the WNBA, and clearly there are about a third of the number of teams that exist in the NBA. There was a very nice piece written. I wish I could remember the author's name. I retweeted it earlier today for my personal Twitter account, at Todd Brummelkamp, if you want to give me a follow, with regards to this was not necessarily a total surprise to anybody who follows or covers the WNBA, but Dallas's official Twitter account lost over 400 followers immediately after Megan Gustafson got cut. How much you want to bet about 398 of those 400 were Hawkeye fans?
I don't want to take that bet because I almost know that at least that many were.
Speaking of bets, I mentioned earlier that you can wager on Drake and whether or not he will make physical contact with Nick Nurse, the head coach of the Toronto Raptors, during their next game. The Raptors are one game away from meeting the Golden State Warriors in the NBA Finals. I don't know whether this is good or bad for the NBA. Good from the standpoint that you have an entire country in Canada that perhaps would be tuning in to see what's going on with the Raptors, but bad from the standpoint, at least as I feel, I think everybody knows Kawhi Leonard, but Giannis, I thought this was going to be sort of a coming out party, a national coming out party for Giannis Antetokounmpo, and now it looks like we're going to be deprived of that.
Certainly does. This is the first time all season that the Bucks have lost three games in a row, and I think a lot of people were ready to write off Toronto after falling down two games in this series, but they have proven, at least Kawhi has proven, that he's sort of on another level. He's not a guy that shies away from the big moment. He's been outstanding in his playoff career, and he's heading into a contract year where, my goodness, he is going to be very highly sought after, because not only has he proven himself over the years to be one of the best defenders in the league, but come playoff time, he can take over a game. And Giannis is one of my favorite players in the NBA to watch, but Kawhi Leonard is just showing that when it comes playoff time, there are very few people you want to face less than that guy right there.
The next game is tomorrow?
I believe so.
Okay. And we will, by the time we reconvene on Tuesday, we'll have everything, I think, pretty much wrapped up.
Yeah, 7:30 p.m. tomorrow.
In both the NBA and then the Stanley Cup Finals will be underway as well. A big thank you once again to Sean Leahy of NBC Sports for stopping by and helping to preview that series with us. He's got the Bruins in six. Your thoughts on the Stanley Cup Finals and NBA playoffs? Welcome on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line, 319-366-1600. Back to baseball for a moment. The Chicago Cubs losing 6-5 to the Reds earlier today. A couple opportunities for the bullpen in that game, and they came through on neither one of them. Joe Maddon was asked about the Cubs bullpen struggles after the game was over and said that it was a, quote, industry-wide problem, and the data seems to back him up. The bullpens combined, all of Major League Baseball, bullpens have an ERA of 4.35 coming into Friday, which is the highest for the league since 2000. And I find that interesting. It was 4.56, by the way, for those of you who may be wondering what it was almost two decades ago. 2000 was sort of the height of the steroid
right.
era. And here we are now with people talking once again that the balls are juiced, that Major League Baseball's done something to boost the number of home runs. It's not so it's not just a Cubs problem. Everybody is out there looking to make their bullpens a little better. We mentioned the Cardinals transitioning Michael Wacha to a bullpen role. If only there were somebody out there who could be brought in to pitch in high leverage situations. This really is a game of chicken at this point between Craig Kimbrell and, to a lesser extent, Dallas Keuchel, who's a starter but also remains without a job, and MLB teams. They don't want to sign either one of these guys until after the draft is
right.
over. So, and the draft is in, what, 3 weeks?
Yes. So as somebody who has seen what some of these players look like, or one of these players looks like that didn't sign with the team last year, and Greg Holland, and he didn't get to go through spring training, and I know that there are the reports that these guys are training hard and doing everything they need to do to stay in shape. Signing somebody on, what would it be, June the 17th or something? That seems like a pretty risky proposition, but at the same time, you're exactly right. They don't want to lose a draft pick for this year. Now, my question is, would they lose a draft pick for next year if they sign them after that cutoff?
No.
Okay.
The compensation is out the window.
So that's what everybody's waiting for. Those guys will absolutely not get signed before then.
And meanwhile, I guess it's a game of Russian roulette with the bullpens, not only yours, but everybody else. Can your bullpen be slightly better than everybody else's bad bullpen? But the Cubs, in my opinion, they've got to do something to address this until Pedro Strop comes back. And I like Pedro Strop. I'm a believer in him. I know a lot of people aren't. Strop is close to returning from the injured list. I don't know whether Brandon Morrow is ever going to throw another pitch for the Cubs again. But again, they knew that when they constructed this bullpen, and they decided that because of financial constraints, and this is the point where I remind everybody that every team in Major League Baseball is valued at least $1 billion, due to financial constraints, they were going to try to piece this bullpen together on the cheap with guys like Brandon Kinsler, Steve Cishek, Brad Brock, and a bunch of 4A Des Moines to Chicago frequent flyers, guys like James Norwood, who got called back up earlier today, Rowan Wick, who just got sent down after a brief call-up, Dylan Maples. This is, I don't want to be in another situation where you get to the end of the year and you wind up playing a game 163 because you let one or two games, and at this point it's going to be more than that, slip away due to bad bullpens. But sort of the way that things are looking for the Cubs right now, who continue to lead the National League Central, although they drop half a game today with a 6-5 loss to the Cincinnati Reds. Twins are in action tonight on 107.5 FM. We invite you to stick around as they return to Target Field. They went 6-1 on that West Coast swing.
They are hitting home runs at a crazy clip. How many did they hit yesterday? Six?
Just an absolutely insane barrage of home runs from a team that not all of these guys are Nelson. They brought in Nelson Cruz, who's on the injured list right now, who is he's got the boomstick. That's his nickname. He's a 40 home run guy, but Max Kepler, Eddie Rosario, Miguel Sano has returned to the big league lineup. Between what the Twins have done offensively and what Wes Johnson, the former University of Arkansas pitching coach, has been able to do with that pitching staff, where he's transformed a number of guys, including Martin Perez, who was a reclamation project from Texas, a one-time, a highly sought-after, a highly regarded pitching prospect, came up to the major leagues, looked like he fizzled out. He was going to maybe not have much of a career. He seems to have found the fountain of youth in Minnesota. I'm buying the Twins. I'm a big believer in the Twins at this point. So you can catch them tonight. Jose Berríos on the mound as Minnesota welcomes the Chicago White Sox in. Lucas Giolito has been pitching well for Chicago. I know the White Sox fans haven't had a ton to cheer about lately, but it looks like he has his development on track. He was a big part of the Adam Eaton trade coming over from the Washington Nationals a couple years ago. Adam Eaton, who's been in the headlines for other things. I can't say off the field because it was on the field.
It was on the field. But Giolito was a guy that just never looked quite right. Because he was one of those top prospect-like profile, top-of-the-rotation guys. And then all of a sudden, he was sort of expendable in that Adam Eaton trade. And he didn't pitch very well last year. And he didn't start off the year very well. But it's good to see him starting to figure things out. But I still have to wonder about all those injuries and Tommy John surgeries that are going around the Chicago White Sox, and hopefully it doesn't stunt their development too much and those guys come back and pitch well, because I do think there's a lot to be excited about on the south side of Chicago, especially with the way that Tim Anderson and Yoan Moncada are playing, and Eloy Jimenez is back in the lineup off the injured list.
Tim Anderson may be the best player in baseball that very few people outside the Midwest are talking about right now. He's starting to get a little notice on Major League Baseball Network and ESPN, but hitting .326 coming into tonight's game. Back to the home runs, though. You take a look at these two teams. Jose Abreu has 12 home runs for the White Sox. He's the only batter in Chicago's lineup that has double-digit home runs in tonight's contest, the starting lineup. The Twins have four guys who have double-digit home runs, and a fifth in Jorge Polanco, who is not a home run hitter, never was, even when he was here in Cedar Rapids back in 2013. Polanco has been one of the best stories in baseball, in my opinion. He's hitting .344 with 9 home runs and 26 runs driven in, batting second tonight behind Max Kepler. C.J. Krohn, who was a scrap heap addition this offseason, has 13 home runs. He's hitting .278. Filling the hole at first base that was vacated largely with the retirement of Joe Mauer. And Miguel Sano has already got 4 home runs, his return from the injured list. The Minnesota Twins, they're going to be a fun team to watch the remainder of the season.
You think this is a team we're talking about come October as a contender?
I absolutely do. I agree. And they have the farm system. I know Twins fans aren't going to like to hear this, but they've got the farm system with Royce Lewis and Brusdar Graterol and Alex Kirilloff. There was some thought that maybe he would be up at some point this season if the Twins needed a boost. They don't look like they need a boost right now, but they've got some arms and some position players in their farm system that they could turn around and spin off into a valuable piece. But right now, I look at the Twins, I don't see a weakness. It's going to take an injury somewhere or a major, major regression from one of their players in the starting lineup. This team looks to be on solid foundation for the remainder of the season, but we'll see what that front office has in mind. Every front office is always looking to make a great team even better, even if it's a small acquisition.
Is the bullpen still the question mark, or at times has been the question mark for this team this year?
I think so. I think it was a little bit of a surprise that Trevor Hildenberger wasn't as effective as they were expecting to be, but Blake Parker comes in. You've got Phil Rogers covers the White Sox for the Chicago Tribune. Phil Miller, who's a frequent guest of the program, is the beat writer for the Minneapolis Star Tribune, points out that their best reliever is Taylor Rogers, a left-hander, and Rocco Baldelli's been able to employ him all over the place to get effective outs. And then you go to a bevy of right-handers. I think Trevor May has had some work on the back end of the bullpen, other than maybe making the bullpen a little bit better. And I know there are some Twins fans out there that have kicked around Craig Kimbrell's name. Is there a team in baseball that hasn't mentioned that they would like to get, fan base, I should say, that hasn't mentioned to acquire Craig Kimbrell's services at some point? But outside of bolstering the bullpen at this point, I think the Twins look like they are ready to make a run at this. Really fun team to watch so far this year, and of course a fun team to listen to right here on 107.5 FM, The North Gym.
We were watching their game yesterday in Anaheim, and our good friend Tommy Watkins was featured heavily on the broadcast.
Tommy doing a great job coaching first base for the Twins this year.
I miss Tuesdays with Tommy.
Don't count on next Tuesday with Tommy, but perhaps we can see if Tommy will be on the program with us at some point in time. We'll keep you updated, as we mentioned, on that severe weather that is in the southern portion of our listening area right now at 641. Looks like a tornado warning continuing for Iowa and Johnson counties until the top of the hour. According to CBS2, a rotation spotted north of Wellman, heading northeast near Sharon Center, and that is putting Hills and University Heights in a direct line here for this storm. So tornado warning for Iowa and Johnson counties until the top of the hour. If you're just joining us, if you live in those areas, especially in the cities and towns that we just mentioned, including University Heights, you should probably think about taking shelter. Matter of fact, don't think about it. Don't even worry about taking us with you, but seek shelter as, again, that's a tornado warning for Iowa and Johnson counties until the top of the hour at 7 o'clock. Tornado watches in many parts of the listening area, including Cedar Rapids and Iowa City, until midnight tonight. So we could be in for some spooky weather here in eastern Iowa. Some severe stuff out there, high winds, tree damage, hail, the whole nine yards, and especially tornadic activity. 319-366-1600-642. We'll take our final timeout. When we come back, we're going to try to put a nice big bow on this week's programs and pretend like we're not as excited as you are for a three-day weekend. Back with more after this.
Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years, presents another edition of the Cubs Report with Todd Brommelkamp.
It's called a regression, and that's what it looks like fans are dealing with when it comes to left-hander John Lester. As our friend Chris Emma of WSCR 670 The Score in Chicago pointed out last night on Twitter, Lester had a 1.16 ERA and a 3.39 xFIP, which stands for Expected Fielding Independent Pitching, through his first seven outings of the season. That metric takes defensive performance out of the equation and puts the focus solely on a pitcher's own effectiveness. After yesterday's start against the Phillies, Lester's ERA now sits at 2.68 and his xFIP at 3.73. Most notably, Lester's cutter has been hit hard lately. Over his past two outings, the pitch has helped produce a 9.72 ERA in 8 1/3 innings, with opponents hitting the cutter at a 6.15 clip. With an average exit velocity of 98.2 miles per hour, they aren't missing it when they make contact.
At Trex, we know there's a place for wood in your backyard. We recommend the fire pit. But when it comes to choosing the right material for your next deck, look no further than the superior beauty and durability of the number one name in outdoor living. Trex decking delivers the look of wood without all the work and the worry. So make sure your next deck is built with Trex.
Find Trex decking at Alexander Lumber or Answers by Alexander. Visit either location in Iowa City.
Spend this Memorial Day at the ballpark. The Colonels play at noon and will offer a noon game combo special of a regular sandwich, snack, and drink for just $8.50. Or take advantage of our Markdown Monday specials of $1.50 hot dogs and $1 ice cream sandwiches, chips, and small popcorns. Get tickets at Colonels.com and spend Memorial Day at the ballpark with the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Hey, Colonels, let the good times roll. Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
The Home Depot has easy-to-follow instructions for assembling your new grill.
Step one, let us assemble it and deliver it for free. Right now, buy any grill over $399 and assembly and delivery are free. So you can spend your time enjoying your new grill instead of assembling it or even getting it home. Today is the day for doing, with free assembly and delivery on all grills over $399. Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through July 5th in store only.
When it comes to the playoffs, coverage is everything. The same applies to the wireless game. With Straight Talk Wireless, you get full nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks, but for up to 50% less than those big carriers charge. For the exact same high-speed networks, it's like getting full-court coverage at half-court prices. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
The St. Louis Cardinals and the Atlanta Braves, live from Busch Stadium this weekend.
Sunday, starting at 5 o'clock here on the gym, KGYM.
6:47, we welcome you back here in the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn as we bring you the latest on some severe weather in the area, and it is certainly nothing to take lightly at this point, especially if you are in the Kelowna area, southern portion of Johnson County. There is a tornado that is on the ground right now, heading toward New Sharon Center. So take shelter and be aware. Again, just north of Kelowna, crossing Highway 1, a confirmed tornado sighted on the ground. Pictures of this on CBS2 right now, pretty impressive. As you look at this, but the radar, that tornado warning again for Iowa and Johnson counties until the top of the hour, for good reason, as there is an actual spotted, confirmed funnel cloud on the ground, a tornado again on the ground, heading toward near Sharon Center right now, southern portion of Johnson County. That storm, as we mentioned, tracking toward Hills, University Heights. If it would continue on the direction that it's going, you're looking at pretty much following parts of Highway 6. So keep it tuned to your preferred area TV station news outlet for weather updates. I'm not a trained meteorologist by any stretch of the imagination, but do not be surprised if we have the emergency alert system covering up the final couple minutes of the program here at 6:48. On a Friday, Todd and Alex with you for just a few more minutes before we get out of here. Again, 106.3 FM listeners, if you're listening to us in the Iowa City area, especially to the south, there could be some really nasty stuff in your area. Please be as safe as possible tonight and take cover. And we want you with us when we reconvene on a Tuesday. Poll question available at KGYMradio.com, not to make too much of an abrupt switch back into the sports programming side of things here. But will the Iowa Hawkeyes play a fourth game in Omaha at the Big Ten Baseball Tournament? Poll questions brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast here in Cedar Rapids, just conveniently located behind the Taco John's is where you can find them. The Hawkeyes will play their third game in Omaha tonight. About 8:30 estimated start time as the Hawkeyes take on Minnesota. And Alex, a loss ends the season for Iowa. A valiant effort for Rick Heller and the Hawkeyes. But in the end, unless they win this whole thing, in the end, too many injuries to overcome.
Absolutely. And you start the season where you think a guy like Jack Dreyer, who was so good last year in midweek games and then moving into the rotation, is going to bolster your weekend rotation, and he gets hurt, and just a string of injuries from Zeb Adrian. It was great to see him back out there today after, I believe he collided, was it with Mitchell Bowe a couple of series ago and had some concussion-like symptoms, and a lot of injuries, as Jack Dom said during his segment touching all the bases, you can overcome them for a while, but eventually they catch up to you. And this team, for 5 or 6 weeks, they had won 6 series in a row, and then they lost 5 in a row to end their regular season. Cole McDonald was very good in that game against Indiana, and then Grant Judkins did not have a good start today against Nebraska and sort of put them behind the eight ball. Now they're facing elimination. And I want to tell this story because I was sitting with Jack Dom about 4 years ago as Minnesota, I can't remember who they were playing, but Minnesota was playing somebody in the Big Ten tournament. And I asked Jack about this today on the show. If you missed anything, you can visit our
Indiana,
website.
Indiana,
wasn't it? KGYMradio.com. Yes, it was Indiana. I think Indiana got up about 7-0 in that game. And Jack looks at us all and says, this Minnesota team, they will lull you to sleep. And they're going to come back in this game. And we're all looking at him like, what are you talking about? But I guess that he'd be the most credible person to hear this from. But sure enough, they lull you to sleep. They came back. They won the game coming back from down 7-0. So tonight, Iowa, they get a lead early on. Do not sleep on Minnesota because they have that ability to come back.
All right. Final minute or so of the program here. Severe weather is headed toward Iowa City right now. We got texts coming in on the Hurteen and Stocker Jewelers text line. Ed letting us know that all hell is breaking loose down there. If you are in the Iowa City area right now, take shelter. 0797 texting us a photo of that confirmed spotted tornado on the ground in Kelowna. That storm is tracking for Hills, University Heights, Iowa City. This is some nasty, nasty stuff. If you're listening to us on 106.3 FM right now and are unaware, there is some very severe weather in the area right now headed for Iowa City. Please take this storm seriously. There's been a spotted confirmed tornado.